No, the toaster has to be plugged in order to get the current to shock you.
I understand now.
Do you just believe whatever movies tell you, though?
Yes.
What movie was it?
That's why I'm scared that I don't know.
Are you sure that it wasn't?
It probably never
like,
happened. I probably just imagined it.
Are you sure it just wasn't like, oh, yeah, they dropped the toaster in, but we didn't see it plugged in. So I just thought that it was.
So I just thought it wasn't.
Was it a wireless toaster?
Yeah.
Sending a Wi-Fi signal to cook your toast.
It's important that you don't have a wireless toaster too near a really thick wall.
Welcome everybody to Error Report for the week.
Hey, I'm Evan.
February the 24th.
I'm a walking sitcom today.
And, that's Evan, there's Ryan and Matthew, you know, the normal crew. I'm Clint Prentice, and let's get this let's get this podcast a rolling.
I'll pardon you.
Matthew, I think that you just don't need to talk for like 5 minutes to get over the fact that you think that a toaster that's not plugged in can shock
you
if you throw it into a tub of water.
Thought.
Yeah, thought. You thought it. The point still stands. That's really stupid.
Wait, Clint, hold on. You don't think that an unplugged toaster can shock you in a tub of water?
No, he thinks that if you throw a toaster in, you will die from the electric shock. He thought. If he thought. Okay.
Oh, no, he's totally right. There's no... That's... The electric current is just embedded within the metal.
Oh.
It's the same reason why you better not fucking drop a spork in your...
That's why everyone, you know, unplugs toasters.
A metal spork, because everybody has metal sporks.
That's
why everyone always puts their toaster, like, under the counter.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall in the tub?
No, because they just don't want any kid to accidentally touch it and get shot.
That's why when I want a piece of toast in the tub, I take adequate preparation. it's good.
Have you ever played like a handheld game in a tub before?
No.
That's Ryan? Just because
Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan.
Yeah.
What did you play?
I don't know. It was on my Game Boy Advance. Played multiple games.
Advance Wars.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Advance Wars was so good.
Yeah.
Evan.
That was a good tangent.
Evan.
Got all the way to Advance Wars being good, and then it died.
Yeah. With the power of the PlayStation 4, you can throw it into a tub, and you will only get shocked by a small amount of electric charge because it powers down automatically in the event that water is nearby.
Plus, you can signal your friends for help.
Yes, the friends watch you do that, just like they're sitting over your shoulder.
Dude, look out! Your PS4 is...
PlayStation 4 is about to fall in.
If you drop your PS4 in a fucking tub, your save will be kept, so that when you turn it back on, dry it off, you can keep playing Crash Bandicoot.
Because it's all in the cloud.
Yep.
Evan.
Ladder going to the cloud. What?
Let's talk about video games. All right. Evan.
Yeah.
Let's talk about laundry detergent.
I'll go with video games.
Are you sure? We can also talk about, you know...
Man, you guys always go with the tide.
No, it's go with the flow. It's just, you can't...
Yeah, but tide laundry...
Yeah, but it's just... Nope.
It was a nice try.
So, Evan.
Yeah?
Let's talk about video games.
Okay.
Or flashlights, I don't know, if you want to talk about something else.
I don't really have any flashlights.
No? Everyone should have a flashlight.
What if your power goes out?
Yeah, it's emergency preparedness.
I have flashlights, I don't think about them much, nor do I use them. so there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Well, they come in handy an awful lot.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't say an awful lot.
I live in Northern California. I don't severe weather doesn't happen here. There's very rarely cause for a blackout, is okay. what I'm saying.
Okay, rural California, isn't there just like trees and like a couple of ranches and?
Yeah, kinda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't you need flashlights to navigate the woods?
I don't live in the woods.
But you need, live by woods.
No, I live in a suburb.
Oh, okay.
Lives in the urban jungle.
You know who doesn't live in a suburb?
Please do tell.
Raiden. Did you guys feel the power of that segue?
That segue was so bad. I'm going to seek revengeance.
Oh.
No. I thought that Rose always wanted to settle down and have a few kids.
They had a kid.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Where's Rose?
Not in Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Well,
that's just too bad.
I reviewed Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I wish I didn't have Evan. Revengeance. I liked it. I gave it a 4.
Okay.
I think it's a good video game.
Yeah.
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 You guys are giving me a lot of ammunition.
I have a question.
You
posted on Twitter a picture of a character who was in that game from Metal Gear Solid 4. Sunny is in that game.
Yes.
Isn't she like 10 in that game?
Probably.
She looks a lot older than 10.
What are you trying to say, Ryan?
I'm trying to say that she looks like she should be a lot older than 10. She has matured much past the age of 10.
Ryan's actually curious about the age of consent.
Yep.
No, I was actually going to ask, like, just because this made me look it up. Like, is she, like, does she have nanomachines or something that make her age quicker?
You bet.
A la Snake or something like that?
No, it's Foxdie.
Foxdie, sorry.
She has Fox Alive.
I don't fucking remember. Sunny.
She made a friend. Okay. She made a friend that didn't speak English.
She's 10, and she makes a jet.
Yeah. Instead of eggs?
Instead of eggs. The thing she makes in Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is a jet that gets Raiden to Pakistan from Denver in 30 minutes.
That's Denver. Not... That can't happen.
No, yeah, it can't.
It's large version of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance takes place in Denver.
Does it really?
Yes.
That's like a first.
Like
Fallout New Vegas and Metal Gear Rising Revengeance are the only things I can remember having Denver in it.
It, you know, that game's cool. I've came to it with a lot of reservations because I didn't think it was going to be very good. Mm. And ultimately, it just sort of won me over because of how fucking ridiculous it is.
Sure.
In a lot of really good ways. I think the combat system is pretty cool. I'm not the authority on Platinum's combat systems. And I know a lot of people complain that it's not deep enough or whatever, but I found it very sufficiently challenging and engaging.
Okay.
The story is weird.
Does it progress the overall, like, number of series story?
No, not really. It's more of a side story. If you're looking for something, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 fans will probably want to play it just so they can get a glimpse of, like, what it's like to be in a post-MGS4 world. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of seeing the ramifications of the Patriots having fallen and all that jazz.
Where people have chainsaw scissor hands.
Yeah. And electrolyte spines.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, and there are things about the story that... There's one thing in particular that happens in the story, one sort of story sequence that I think is really good and really feels very tonally similar to what you might find in a normal Metal Gear game, but most of it is just sort of bombastic in the way that Platinum Games is bombastic.
Oh, okay.
Which does not quite mesh as well with the Kojima Productions crazy as well as I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of jarring to, you know, go around cutting a bunch of dudes with your sword and, you know, ripping out their electrolyte spines, and then it ends and you have, like, an extended codec conversation about war profiteering.
Does war change?
War's changed.
Hmm.
I think that's fair to say.
Whoa, man, Fallout 3 told me that war never
changed. Fallout 3 is full of shit.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid says that war has changed.
Yep, I remember because I played those two games pretty close together, and in one, it begins with Snake saying, war has changed, and in the other, it begins with Ron Perlman saying, war never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they're which game is better? Metal Gear Solid 4.
I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, whatever Snake says is true. I mean, David Hayter is...
That's true. He's an innately trustworthy fellow.
Yeah.
Screenwriter of Watchmen and X-Men.
Oh, that's depressing.
So yeah, there are parts where the writing feels very much in conflict with all of the action. But it's never too distracting. Because most of it is just crazy Platinum Games action, which is pretty dumb fun.
Good.
And it's also nice that it controls as well as it does. A lot of people don't like the sort of blocking system by which there is no block and it's just parrying. I think it works pretty well. There's obviously like a learning curve to it where for the first hour or so, I was like, this is just ridiculous. I can't do anything. I keep getting hit. But then when you figure out the timing on the parry, it's good. It's a lot of fun. It's very short. So I guess if someone is especially cost sensitive, maybe try to seek it out at your Gameflies or your Red Boxes.
Red Box doesn't have it.
Well, at your Gameflies.
Or local game store dealer.
Those don't still exist, do they?
Some
of them
do. Game
store dealers?
Some of them do. There's a place right near my parents' house called Family Video. It has all the recent releases, like Tangled and Gears of War 3.
And wow. are all the posters yellowed?
A little bit.
Okay. There was a video store near my house that I used to always go to every week because they had this 2 for Tuesday thing. So I would go every Tuesday and get 2 video games and then play one and not play the other.
Sounds
and take them back.
Was one of them always Glover?
No, I own Glover.
No, I owned Glover, Clint.
Mm.
Such
I like
a masterpiece
Glover.
Should not be rented.
Look, outside of Majora's Mask, Glover was the N64's shining achievement.
I think you can bounce a rubber ball or a crystal ball.
No, you don't want to bounce the crystal ball.
Yeah, if you bounce the crystal ball, it breaks, and that's not
and
good.
You lose.
Okay, well, you could bounce a rubber ball and then roll a crystal ball. Roll a bowling ball.
Well, that was the game that I always rented.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I was a
not
kid.
Very good.
It was fun.
And that's Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
And Mystical Goemon Ninja Gaiden.
Wait,
Mystical
did you get the...
Ninja starring Goemon.
Yep, that one.
Clint, which one? The 3D or the 2D Sajikor?
The 3D.
Oh, the 3D was so good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Except I could never find like that at GameStop, so I always had to rent that. That was the game I would always rent. And well, then I owned the 2D one.
Well,
all those N64 polygonal like side-scrolly games are way too slow.
Yeah.
The same goes with Kirby 64 Crystal Shards. Just everything's really zoomed in, and everything moves so slowly.
But you could combine powers, and it was great.
Sure.
I swear that I looked it up just like a couple weeks ago, and Mystical Ninja starring Goemon was like astronomical in price.
Really?
Yeah.
What is Mystical Ninja starring Goemon?
Just the best 64 game ever. $2,499 new.
Jeez.
And used at $30.
Oh, wait, that's the N64 one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should probably get that new, just to make sure.
Yeah, just have the box.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you know it works.
You can read my review, I guess, unless you guys have anything you want to hear about. I feel like we should just move on.
No, yeah. We talked about it a good bit on and
the crash test.
Yeah, crash test went really well.
So if people want to see more about it, they should check it out. It's pretty
cool. That's archived on the site.
And I think you did a really good job explaining a lot of the systems to us to now, like, we know a lot about
that
the game.
Left arm enemies.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, you get to the collectibles. You got to cut off left arms.
How many weapons did you end up getting by the end of the game by beating bosses and stuff?
Not many.
No.
You get your main sword. For beating the game, you get like a special sword, a red one that I was using in the crash test. And then you get, I think, 3 or 4 like sub weapons that you can switch between from beating bosses.
Okay.
But they are pretty radically different sub weapons. And that, like, the one I was using in the crash test was like a scythe that works as sort of like a grapple where I throw it at a guy and I go flying towards him.
Right. But I want...
And then there's also that pole made of arms.
Yeah, I want that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
It's a really great back scratcher.
Yeah. It's just really crazy. And if you're in the mood for something that, you know, it's pretty replayable, the new game plus stuff is in there, so you just keep your one upgraded dude throughout whatever you do.
Okay.
There are... I believe 2, I have heard, unlockable difficulty levels, like a very hard and a revenge difficulty that's supposed to be ludicrous.
Yeah, I hear the revengeance difficulty is like one hit and you're dead.
Yeah.
For so, most enemies.
For people who want that, it's in there. Got to do a little digging maybe to get to it. But just, there's a lot of, it looks great and... The writing is, if you manage to separate it from Metal Gear, pretty dumb and pretty fun.
Mm.
And the set pieces are good and the combat's good. It's really all you could ask for from a game like that. Even though I think its ties to the license sort of do more harm than good at the end of the day.
Sure.
It would have been better if you were playing as Crichton in... Metal Gear Solid.
No.
If they just kept all of their crazy ideas and had a different world to
if
put
it, was
it
just
in,
called,
I
yeah.
probably would have had less reservations about
it. If it was just called Rising Revengeance.
Sure. Rising Revengeance. That's the dumbest. That's somehow dumber than Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
But then all of the warmongering and war profiteering and PMCs and just... That wouldn't
also,
make... sense because that's all the Kojima crazy.
The final boss of that game is insane. Like,
as in like hard or
well,
just crazy.
It's hard. It's also just crazy. It is a boss fight that uncharacteristically has like a 10-minute cutscene in the middle of it, which obviously for Metal Gear Solid is not exactly foreign, but for Metal Gear Rising. You know, the cutscenes rarely go on that long, but then you just have... Oh, it's so fucking insane. One of you should play it.
Okay.
So you can... I mean, you should all play it, because it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... I'm going to play it eventually. It's
yeah,
just...
me too. Yeah. I'll wait a couple months, I think, but I'll definitely play it by the end of the year.
It is a lot of fun. And cool. There are things in it for the Metal Gear fan, even if there are more for the Platinum fan.
Well... Probably. Both are still good. Vanquish was kick-ass.
Yeah, I never played Vanquish.
It's real fast.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Well, that's one where you could, like, slide on the ground a lot,
yeah, you
right?
slide on the ground, you had to, like, rocket knees or something.
And it seems to run at a pretty consistent 60 frames. Which goes a long way.
That's good, yeah.
Cool.
Nothing wrong with that.
making it fast.
I personally prefer five frames so I can, you know, really soak in the action.
Oh, well, you should play Resident Evil 6.
Oh, great. Already beat you to that, actually. Had a great time with that.
Aliens Colonial Marines co-op. Hey. Speaking of Aliens Colonial Marines.
The game sucks. No. The game really sucks.
I got to chapter 8, which is very close to the end. I'm going to beat it, because that'll be my 10th game for the year. But that game's real bad.
Yes.
I don't agree, guys. I think you're really selling that game short. Look, 1 star should only be for games that are broken, okay?
It's not quite as offensively terrible as some other games, but it just has nothing going on.
Nope.
Like, and it's all sort of its bad. Parts are shitty, and it just sort of slides along the ground, and nothing ever happens. Like, I think Resident Evil 6 is worse, probably, just because Resident Evil 6 has a lot of design decisions that are infuriating. Yeah. Aliens rarely infuriating. It's just kind of...
No, it's infuriating all the time, but in a much different way than Resident Evil 6's broken amount of infuriating.
Sure. Like, this might be untrue for other people. I'm really angry when I'm playing Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
I'm generally just bored and sort of upset with myself.
Yeah, I gotcha. I feel that way about a game we might talk about.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm just... That game... Let's move on.
Good.
Let's talk about happy experiences, like good games and stuff. Let's keep it peppy.
I played half an hour of Crysis 3.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got a hold of that late. And by late, I mean a couple hours ago. That game is... boring.
It looks so good.
I mean, sure, but it's not like the environment isn't interesting. It's just sort of like...
Yeah, no, you're right, but it does look so good.
I mean, I sort of don't care.
You guys are bringing me down.
Sure, but like, yeah. Good job, people that designed that engine, but it didn't come into a game that is anything...
Yeah, it's not very fun to play.
It's also just like the level design is worse in Crysis 2's, and like it's the decision to make sprint like not an energy consumption means that I can just sprint around with like maximum armor on like all the time. It just feels broken. Like you can go stealth and just kill everyone with arrows without your stealth draining.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, but it's like it's not challenging at all. I haven't died yet. A mission happened.
Yeah, it's just... it's whatever.
Yeah.
I bought that game knowing full well that I probably wouldn't like it. But I just have a new PC that can handle it. Looks so good.
No, let's talk about great things. Video games are awesome!
We talked about one good game.
Yeah, Mystical Ninja starring Goemon.
No, Glover.
And Glover.
Yeah, two games.
Oh, Glover's great.
I filled a a cabinet full of now tested and confirmed working Famicom games.
Cool.
Oh yeah, you were showing some of those off. What? There was that one that was pretty weird that you were doing.
What, Tom Sawyer RPG?
Yeah!
That sounds great.
So this game is crazy. it is an RPG, like a turn-based RPG about Tom Sawyer, made by Square, music by Nobuo Uematsu.
Did Mark Twain consult on the game?
Yes.
For the Famicom. Hmm. Never came out in America.
And, what? No, wait, probably, hold probably on. Good. Wait, so a classic American story.
Yes.
Doesn't come to America.
Well, did you see the picture I posted of the Tom Sawyer RPG?
No, I didn't.
You should go on my Twitter really account right racist. Now and find it.
Okay.
It's a really racist caricature as your, one of your party members.
So, yeah, one of your party members is presumably Jim from Huckleberry Finn. Can we take that photo and like post it in the text for this podcast? No,
you don't want to get sued.
Nope.
So that's easily the best find of the
yeah. War. Well, what do you fight?
Like you it's fight awesome. Along the Mississippi River,
right? But what are you
like,
fighting?
Frogs and shit.
Frogs. Okay.
Yeah, it's also doesn't have an overworld. It's just like a pretty linear side-scrolling turn-based RPG.
That's weird. How's the music?
Yeah, it's... Whoa, someone wants to know about Tom Sawyer. The music is okay.
Oh, okay.
You know, I also got King's Knight, which is Square's first, like, game that made it to America. Like their first published game.
Oh, okay.
So it has music by Nobuo Uematsu, and that's really weird because it's like a vertical scrolling shooter.
Oh.
But you control a guy on like a battlefield, and it's medieval.
That's pretty weird.
Fucking weird.
Medieval battlefield?
So it's like a. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's odd, but that's always fun, because every now and again you find, you know, there's a lot of Japanese baseball games, there's a lot of sumo wrestling games, and sort of inscrutable trivia game show games.
What about DuckTales 2?
I got the shit out of DuckTales 2.
Yeah?
There's this what weird subculture... in Japan during that time period, especially of like really straight-faced business sims, like where you play the CEO of a Japanese company,
like Wall Street Kid.
Like Wall Street Kid
sounds great.
There are a lot of sound novels that I really want to find translations for because I find them fascinating. There's one sound novel I got called Deja Vu that just looks like some sort of hard-boiled detective fiction thing, which is really weird, and I wish I could play it, but I can't, because I can't read Japanese.
I'm not going to make that joke again.
Oh, good. So yeah, a lot of that. I've been playing an ungodly amount of Super Puyo Puyo puzzle game for the Super...
Oh, good.
Excuse me?
Super Puyo Puyo.
Excuse me?
Do you need me to say it again?
Yeah.
Super Puyo Puyo.
Excuse me?
That's P-U-Y-O. That game's brilliant. That's such a good puzzle game. Came out in America as both Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine and Kirby's Avalanche.
Oh, right.
What, did they just put a new skin on it?
Yep. Just replaced it with Sonic characters / Kirby characters.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Wait, a Sega-produced Kirby game? Or a Nintendo-produced Sonic game?
There were two games.
Right.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine and Kirby's Avalanche. And they were both reskinnings of Super Puyo Puyo.
So, okay. Who owns Super Puyo Puyo?
Super Puyo Puyo is a... Ben Presto game?
So are they under... Because I'm trying to see like how you can take...
It's
a
like
game...
a Doki Doki Panic thing.
Okay.
So that I've been playing so much of that.
Cool.
And so it's like a match 4 puzzle game with descending blocks of 2, but the idea is you want to set up chain reactions. So it's like... I want to build this tower in such a way that I will hit one near the bottom and it will just collapse and keep getting matches of 4. And it's multiplayer, so like when you get a really large chain reaction, it dumps a bunch of rocks on the other guy's screen.
Oh, that sounds real good.
And then you need to try to, like, when your screen fills up, you lose.
Oh.
It's great.
So it's almost like Tetris Battle Gaiden?
Sorta. But, yeah, sorta.
Mm-hmm.
It's real good. If I ever get around to doing that fucking Famicom live stream, I'll play some Super Puyo Puyo.
Definitely should.
It's gonna be a fun time.
So I did a lot of that. And then I played... I watched you play a couple things.
If I buy one of these Radeon 7850s and just if I replace my card.
Why?
Because then it would be more powerful.
What card do you have?
A 6950.
That's fine.
Yeah, but
is there any modern game you cannot run at least medium settings?
I don't know. I haven't tried Crysis yet. But
you can probably
Crysis
run.
Is a future game.
But if I get this Radeon 7850, I could get BioShock and Tomb Raider for free.
No.
Yeah.
That's not a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
No, because you have to spend the money on the graphics card you don't need.
But then I'd have a more powerful graphics card.
For what?
For, like, games. I can turn
you
on...
You should do that.
I can turn on anti-scopic filtering.
That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? Right?
You're right?
Seriously. Come on. And I get a $15 rebate card if I buy this one from Newegg.
Oh, those are two games. Take it all back.
Yeah.
Your card's fine. Use your card. Don't waste goddamn money on it.
No, I'm not going to do this one because my card has 2 gigabytes of GDDR5 RAM, and this one only has 1 gigabyte. So,
how much money was that going to cost you buying that card?
If I was to buy this card that I'm looking at right here, $180.
Yeah, that's actually not that bad. Yeah, but
exactly.
Still.
Exactly. It's not that bad. You see? It's not that bad. So, really, if I think about it, I'm only paying, like, $40 for the graphics card.
He's right. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I still don't think you should get the graphics card, but whatever.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
You should do that.
I should.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, considering the bullshit you tried to give me when Ryan and I, or Matthew and I, claimed you were an impulse buyer. This certainly is.
This isn't an impulse buy. This isn't an impulse.
Oh, yeah. This isn't an impulse buy. This is a buy out of necessity.
Yeah.
This is a well-thought-out decision.
Don't listen to him, Clint. We'll talk about it later.
This certainly isn't a buy that started with you awake last night at 3 a.m. saying, man, I should really get a second graphics card and run a dual GPU setup in my computer.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Would not.
Be a dumb decision.
It wouldn't be the worst thing, though.
A dumb decision.
Wouldn't it be as bad as throwing an unplugged toaster into a bathtub.
Exactly. You see, you got to look at the bright side of things. I could turn on the motion blur in Witcher 2, and everything would be great.
Who gives a shit?
I do.
So I'm going to buy the GeForce GTX Titan.
Yeah?
Yeah. For $1,000? Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
You're not going to do that. You don't have a fucking PC.
No, I don't.
You have a dumb laptop, but
yeah.
Did you ever
buy into that Google Glass trial?
I really want to buy into that Google Glass trial.
Yeah, me too.
I know for a fact that if I was accepted into that, then I would actually probably spend that money. And
yeah. But what I was going to ask you got that laptop that we were looking at, right? That can play games.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever played a game on it?
No. Not yet.
A laptop that can play games sounds fishy to me.
No, a laptop that would actually play the games I have on Steam.
Yeah, he's got a laptop that can probably run everything pretty well. He could probably run Witcher 2 at medium or high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So,
it's a good-looking game, so...
Game now.
Yeah. I've played some games. I just haven't played games that... I bought this laptop for, which is sad. But that's what I plan on doing mostly, like, over the summer and things when I'm not playing games on console for review and things like that.
All of your plans that are time-sensitive do not come to play. Like, remember when you said that Persona 3 was going to be your first game on your new TV?
Look, that was my dad's fault.
He's got a point there. Well, you both have points there.
No, that was my dad's fault because my dad was like, all right, because I was like, Dad, I'm going to buy a new TV and stuff for downstairs. He's like, oh, I'll help pay for it and help you take care of all that stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he's like, well, we'll wait till after the Super Bowl because that's when all the TVs are cheap.
No, now, you get one before the Super Bowl.
Well, no. Because they say the day after the Super Bowl is when it all goes on sale.
Ah.
So
then, what are you gonna watch the Super Bowl on? Some shitty ass CRT?
Well, no, we have a nice TV upstairs.
Why don't you play games on that?
Because people watch TV upstairs.
Tell them that video games are the new entertainment medium, and
yeah, that'll go well.
Excuse me, video games are art. Here's a 1,500 word piece on why they are. Thank
you. Let me tell you guys. Let's Jonathan Blow.
I don't know how I can follow this up after all of the explosions.
That's true. I've been spending the last couple of days pretty desperately searching for a CRT.
Why?
A free CRT, should say.
Okay, yeah.
On Craigslist.
So you can play your Famicom games on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because, I had to get an RF switch. I had to get an N64 RF switch. Because I lost mine. And now the Famicom works, but it's, you know, skipping and shit, and it's not. I've just been testing games, really, more than playing them, because I can't play them, really, without getting a headache.
Mm.
So I'm trying to get a CRT to fix that problem. It's a thing where, like, you can't tune to the right frequency on a modern television.
Right.
Because they do not let you fine-tune in that way, because no one fucking uses RF switches anymore.
Nope.
Except crazy people like me.
Yep.
So now I probably have around 400 to 500 NES, Famicom, and Super Famicom games.
Huh. Where are you keeping all these?
Just in tub. I am getting like containers and shit and filing
them. Just get a tub. Okay, that'll be fine.
How are you organizing them?
I'm not. I just put them in the Famicom. I'm like, yep, this totally turns on after two or three tries, and I put it in the box.
Cool.
So I'm actually looking at my graphics card.
Oh, God.
And I'm comparing it to one of these 7870s. My graphics card is, like, the same as that.
Wow.
Yeah. Except it wouldn't support Crossfire, because they have to be in the same family, so it'd have to be a 6800 if I was going to...
Okay. Here's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Either buy it or don't, but don't talk about it anymore.
Well, what's the point?
Let's face it. He's going to talk to you and I both about how he wants to do this.
Yeah, I remember the Vita
nightmare. I'm actually probably not going to do that. I'm just...
The Vita?
I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Clint buying a Vita was more stressful for Evan and I than it was for Clint.
Nah, you don't know what went through my head.
All of our thoughts went through your head because you asked us.
Should I not? A Vita did kill my father, so how do I feel about that?
You have no idea.
That's why I don't go to 7-Elevens anymore. Yep.
That's exactly it.
True. All of the 7-Elevens in 1950s New York.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't have anything else to...
Were they around back then?
At least I don't think I do.
They were founded in 1927, so yeah, they were there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That works out well.
Yep.
No inconsistencies with Chud's character, then.
Not at all.
All good.
They're founded in Dallas, Texas, so yay.
That is all that... I did a bunch more boring stuff that's not good for the podcast.
Mm.
Okay.
Cool. Well, hey, Matthew.
Hey.
We kind of discussed a little bit of Crysis 3, and I don't want to discuss if you don't...
I mean, I want to be brought down. Talk about next week, surely. But
I just don't want to be brought down today. Today's a good day.
Initial impressions is boring. I guess I'll move on then.
But
is it pretty?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, whatever.
Then it is Crysis.
Yeah. Well, it's whatever. It's not that good. I saw Side Effects. Side Effects is great.
Yeah.
It's a cool movie that I don't want to talk about because it would spoil it.
Yeah, god damn it.
Yeah, everyone should check it out if
sounds
they like
dumb.
Good
I'm
movies.
Not gonna, I'm not going to buy that. It sounds real dumb.
All you Channing Tatum fans
you
out there.
You just stopped him from talking about Crysis 3 because you didn't want to be negative.
Yeah. Why don't you like Side Effects, Clint?
I don't have... I'm just being antagonistic because I hate you.
Yeah, it's good. You should watch it, Clint.
I'm just being antagonistic because I hate you.
I'm used
that's
to
a
it.
Very sophisticated thought that you've expressed.
Thank you.
But Clint, you would like Side Effects a lot.
Oh, well.
For record.
All right.
Side Effects. I'd bet money on it.
Yeah.
No, the nearest place that's playing is in the... I don't want to go there.
Poor side of town.
It actually is.
Well,
Clint can't go there.
Yeah, can't rub shoulders with trolls.
Yeah, I was trying to say that.
Well, one of us got it out.
Yeah, proletariat. It's pretty fun to say. You don't get to pull it out as much as you'd like.
Irving's too far away.
There's some good local Texas talk.
All you
Texans it's playing
out there.
In Plano. That's just down the Coit Road.
The Coit Road.
Yep.
Coit Road.
Does that have anything to do with Coit Tower in San Francisco?
Nope. Coit Road is just where I live.
Oh.
I live on Coit Road.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What's your social security number?
5.
What's your mother's maiden name?
What was your first pet's name?
Name of your favorite teacher.
I don't know the answers to these questions.
And that's why you're never getting your password back.
You want to log back into your Blockbuster account.
Damn it.
Yeah, I tried to log on to something I hadn't logged on in a while, and for like 5 years, and what it was what was your favorite music group? I'm like, I have no idea what I was listening to.
It's probably
NSYNC, right?
It was probably Hoobastank.
I think it was Weird Al. Actually, I totally listened to Hoobastank 5 years ago.
You should have typed in Hoobastank. Go try it.
Yeah, White Trash, Song of the Year.
That's a terrible security question.
The reason the reason is you, Matthew.
Can we stop it with the Hoobastank?
You like Hoobastank, Evan?
Yeah, not a big fan.
Oh, why not? Okay, let's talk about Creed.
Let's not talk about Creed.
Will arms run open.
I'd be happy to talk about good bands.
I'll show you everything.
Oh, God, stop.
I heard an interesting fact the other day about Nickelback.
What?
When Harmonix was secretly developing the Rock Band Network, they gave it the unofficial codename Rock Band Nickelback to avoid attracting attention.
Are there
really?
Yeah.
Are there any Nickelback songs on them?
Sure. I think they called it the Nickel Pack.
The Nickel Pack.
Yeah. It sold for $50.
I'm worried because Alex Rigopoulos keeps dissipating into digitized PlayStation buttons.
Does this mean that when Evan buys a PS4, his PS4 will automatically buy the Nickel Pack?
You
for
bet.
Him?
Because
I'm such a big Nickelback. Not only am I a big Nickelback fan, but all the music on my phone is very similar in tone and style.
And the PlayStation 4 will use Curiosity to download that music directly to your Sony Ericsson phone.
I have none of those things.
No. Evan's Xperia Play.
I do have an Xperia Play.
Your really? Sony branded
tablet.
Did that
crazy expensive Neo Geo handheld ever come out?
I think so. Yes, it did.
Oh, I should get one of those.
No, you shouldn't.
You're an impulse buyer too, Evan.
Yeah, you bought a fucking Novent Falcon.
Okay. Hang on.
Nope.
I am all talk. I rarely buy anything impulsively.
What was the last thing that
I... When you do, it's a lot of money.
But what was the last thing that I bought impulsively?
The... We can just run down a list if you would like.
There's a lot.
Like, name three
the
things.
The Wii U.
Okay,
the
Wii, that's
the
one.
Wii,
that's
the
one.
3DS, and the Vita.
The
was
other,
also an impulse buy that had...
the
that
other two
somehow
things.
Took money away from me.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
That was an impressive one. You managed to make me an impulse buyer by proxy.
There you go. This is the dream.
I'll never forgive you, by the way. Matthew.
Yeah.
Oobastank.
Oobastank is great. No, it's
let's
terrible.
Let's keep.
I finished Cowboy Bebop. One of my favorite
shows. Good.
One of my favorite shows now, I think.
Wow.
It's super good. I mean, not like top five, but like top 15.
It's not Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but it's good fun, and it ends super well, and it looks great, and sounds great, and it's a really fun time that I recommend checking out, especially if you. It has some superficial similarities to Firefly, so people are into that.
Better or worse than Gold
than
Co.
Firefly?
13.
Oh, Golgo 13. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, Golgo 13's hard to top, so I'm sure.
No,
yeah,
it is.
No,
it is actually quite easy to top Golgo 13.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
I'm a Golgo 13 fan, so I have the Golgo 13 fan poster.
Mm.
From the live-action film.
Keep going.
Man, the crazy J-pop theme song for Golgo 13 is so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Take the Wave.
Yep.
And every now and again, there will be like three words of English.
It's pretty great.
Take the Wave.
Yep.
That's it? Take the Wave.
Take the Chance. They say that, too.
The Chance. There's only one chance in Golgo 13's world.
That's true. Mm-hmm. The one chance when you got that finger on that trigger.
And you shoot it into a ripple in the water.
Shoot it into a ripple in the water. Yeah.
It's just super dumb.
Oh, God, this is so good.
You know, Japanese guitar solo here. Just that hard rock. Just digging right in there. That's it. That's it. That's the Golgo 13 theme.
You didn't get to the part where they say take the wave.
Yeah, I
feel like they should have said that by now.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait.
There you go.
There we go.
Just a minute 14 into that.
I've been spoiled by good anime openings. Cowboy Bebop is great.
It's so poorly fitted to...
Yeah,
to Golgo 13. You would think it would be like a James Bondy kind of thing, but it's Japanese or...
Oh, man,
also, Golgo 13 is sort of...
Terrible?
Sort of dark.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Also true. I don't want to give it too much thematic, like, credit or anything.
Yeah.
But it's not the sunniest show around.
Mm-hmm.
So... Cowboy Bebop.
I then
inferior music to Golgo 13 as well.
Yeah, but, for sure. I hate jazz.
Yes,
it's terrible.
I love pockets.
Shit.
Yeah. And then I started watching the creator of Cowboy Bebop's other famous show, Samurai Champloo, which combines samurais and rap. And that's pretty great. It's also really violent.
Hmm. Okay.
Pretty good. Yeah. The opening theme is also really good for that. I like it. That's about it.
It's about it.
Yep.
Cool. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Clint.
How's things?
Things are good.
How's
how successful have you been at taking the wave?
Pretty successful.
How about taking the chance?
Not as successful.
What about reaching out to the truth?
Very successful.
And all that jazz?
Or
not as successful.
What about
I've been
jazz?
Successful at that.
With the jazz?
Yeah.
What if I was to tell you that you could get the seventh guest on Steam?
Does nothing for me.
Mm, well.
Will that make Fraps record it?
I don't think so, but it's a green light.
All right.
Thing, yeah. So, yeah, it's on green light. I'll upvote that.
Hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, excuse me. I'm trying to. God.
There we go. Yep.
I'm trying to think of what I've been doing this week. I played some of the Monster Hunter or Hunter Ultimate demo on the 3DS.
No.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Why?
Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Why?
Monster Hunter.
What do you guys have like catch Monster Hunter?
You just.
Seems boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is boring. I played it.
That's fine for you. I think it's fun. Why? I think the demo is boring because the demo has its issues.
Oh, as wow. In,
demo has its some like story beats are off, pacing issues.
It's just the demo is just pure like going out and killing the monsters, which is like half of what that game is.
Oh, so you only hunt monsters in the demo.
Which is what half of that game is.
What's the other half?
Like the crafting system and everything else.
Oh, you got me sold now.
Well, I'm not trying to sell you on the game. I'm just explaining what the demo is. Okay. Okay. But the problem I have with the demo is that you cannot use the dual analog stick pro or whatever that stupid add-on thing is. So the camera is really bad to control.
You have to use like the left and right.
I wish you did, and this is why, because left button is just to swing the camera around behind you, and then unless you have seen the monster you're supposed to be hunting, and then you have to press something on the touch screen, and then if you press the left bumper, then it will always lock onto what that monster is, like where that monster is.
Oh, and then, that's weird.
Yeah, so because that game is one of the ones that they were like, hey, Monster Hunter is going to support this second analog stick, but the demo doesn't. And I was really disappointed at that because it would very greatly benefit from that.
Sure.
Because there's only two monster, like there's only two quests you can go on, and one of them is an underwater one. And the way that you swim is very odd, especially with the it's just you swim in the way like that the camera is pointing.
Well,
so you have to like make the camera point down and then press forward to swim down. And okay. The way you have to do that is you have to press on the touchpad, the D-pad that is on the touchpad to make the camera go up.
What?
Meanwhile, you have to also try to dodge this monster that is in the water and swim around, and everything moves a lot slower in the water. That's so it's just a whole mess when you try to do that without a like actual camera control apart
sounds from like it.
Touchscreen.
I hear that with the power of the PlayStation 4, we will finally have good water levels in games.
Whoa, man.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting that until the PlayStation 5.
Well.
I think it's all talk.
I mean, the demo that they showed didn't look like it was in real time, but I can hope.
Yeah.
I can hope.
I also.
I'm pretty sure Mark Cerny was waggling the camera slightly during that part, so I think you're set.
And Mark Cerny is just the best.
Hey, Bernie guys, like, hold on.
Hey, remember how cool Marble Madness was?
And my eyes are super wide.
And walked off the stage.
That would have been great.
Yep.
Marble Madness remember... is the fucking best.
So,
that was the second racing. Best announcement of the show.
I also played a very controversial game for this group.
What?
I also started playing Dust.
It's not a controversial game.
It's not controversial.
I think it's okay. Matthew thinks it's bad, and Evan thinks it's
I
great.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's decent, so that's higher than okay in my book.
But Matthew, once again, your problems with this game are just completely unfounded.
Completely unfounded.
I don't think they are. I really don't.
I mean, doesn't you change. Think that there isn't enough enemy variety?
Truly don't.
I mean, the
enemies don't. They don't function differently at any point throughout the game. They always function the same.
No,
and because the combat never evolves in any significant way.
The enemies are not supposed to be attacking you at all times. Like, that's the problem. They all function in the way that they attack you. I mean, I don't know how you want a like side-scrolling brawler to have their enemies function in any different way.
There's like heavy enemies, and I don't know. It would have been nice if there was.
So, do you
else.
Just have problems with most games' enemy variations then?
Sure.
Well, nothing happened when Max Payne stopped drinking, so.
I mean, yeah. I also feel like there, more to the point, is enemy variety.
Yes.
There are enemies. There are boss encounters that have specific things to them. There are enemies that have more health than other enemies. There are enemies that fly. There are those
there are
bomb
enemies.
That
silence.
Yep.
Fidget, and then there are enemies that will burn you.
Yep.
There are enemies that are more effectively dealt with through different moves
like
and
fidget.
Maneuvers. Like fidget.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
for the record, I am not as vehemently opposed to your... One of the weirdest things about this situation is that I'm not as incredulous about Matthew's complaints.
I guess it's just because I felt like the combat just got really sort of boring by the end because it didn't change in any significant way. You're right about the enemy variety, but it didn't change, so nothing fresh happened.
I think the combat remains satisfying until the end, largely due to how fun I think the combat is, the little bit of variety they do give you, as well as the aesthetic differences, and the fact that the game's not that long.
It's not 10 hours. Okay,
it's 10 hours if you go to like get all the fucking treasure. And getting all the treasure doesn't normally involve having to do combat. That's more just
I did play that game on hard, so.
That's your fucking problem.
The thing you seem to do a lot. You're like, man,
that was the only time I played
a game. No, but you keep doing it on Persona too. You're like, man, I should.
I played on normal.
But you kept saying, hey, I'm going to play this on easy. I should totally play it on easy. And what'd you do? You played it on normal, and now you're kicking yourself.
I'm not kicking myself.
You were kicking yourself.
You were like, man, I should have played this game on easy. Persona 4 came out.
I should have. I played Persona 4 on normal because the game was pretty easy by the end. But just saying.
Wow. Look at this. Big talk from Matthew Malewski.
It was pretty easy.
So I like Dust.
Okay. That's good.
I don't blame you for liking Dust or anything. That's fine.
No, yeah, I know. And the reason that I point out that, like, I go against your problems with it more, Matthew, is because, like, I've listened to your guys' complaints about that game before I started, and your complaint is, like, the most prominent to me at this point. Like, I don't have a problem with the voice acting. I don't think it's great. Like, and I know that Clint...
I think I actually enjoyed the voice acting, so I'm...
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not your complaint. Like, Clint's complaint is, like, he doesn't like the voice acting and some of the story stuff. And I think the voice acting is fine. It's not, like, the best I've heard. It's good. But,
It's all those furries, man. That's the real problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. No.
We need to wipe them out.
I feel like the Dust and Fidget voice actors are pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think they largely...
Fidget's character wouldn't have worked if it was a worse voice actor for me. Because, I don't know, the way that character's written, it sort of could be potentially infuriating.
I
thought she was cute.
It's less about quality of voice acting and more that, like, I think they play off each other pretty well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I do like that a lot more. Like how those two characters specifically are written. They work very well. I do think the combat is a lot of fun, too. Being able to... I hit, like, 950 combo, and then I was really depressed because the enemies died. And I was like, no!
There's specific... The way you do that is there's, like, a... There's a medal you can get in the game, like a wearable item, that reduces everything. You know how you'll get, like, bonuses where it'll say, this is times 1.5 to your attack. That's, like, a medal that does times 0.1 to your attack.
Oh, yeah, then you just use the Dust Storm.
Then you use that and the Dust Storm, and that's how you get your 1,000 hit combo.
Yeah.
Okay. That's weird. I didn't do that. I just got it from, like, normal play.
Well, you can also get it from normal play.
It was pretty
fun. But it's very easy to get it that way.
Yeah. I didn't cheat the game like Evan.
Well, I mean, the game gives you the thing.
Yeah.
Says the man who's modding The Witcher.
I'm no longer modding The Witcher.
Well, just beat the modded Witcher.
Well, you know what? That's because the game is broken, so.
I also think that, I don't know how far you've gotten in, Ryan. Have you gotten to the crafting stuff yet?
No.
I think the way they handle that is pretty clever and well done.
Yeah, I am running around doing a bunch of side quests right now.
Yeah, well, basically what happens is you get this, like, remote transmitter thing so that you find a blacksmith, and she's like, okay, now I can just make whatever you want whenever. And you get blueprints and things, but the way it works is there are, you know, like, 64 expendable crafting items. Mm-hmm. And if you bring one back to a shop and sell it once, they always have that item in stock.
Okay, yeah, I've come across that. Like, talked to the merchant already, and he's been like, hey, you should sell me all the crap that you have, and then I can just keep restocking on this. And I'm like, cool, I really like that.
Yeah, it really, as someone who's not a big fan of crafting systems in games, it's a cool way of, like, taking the pressure off of being like, I need to find this one thing. Because normally, I just go through, like, an area and be like, okay, now I should go back to the shop and sell one of each of these. And by the end of the game, I pretty much had all of them. So,
cool.
So, it's fun.
Yeah. And,
I like that game.
Yeah. And lastly, while trying to convince Evan to, like, get on board with Majora's Mask and get him to want to play that, I convinced myself to play Majora's Mask again.
There you go.
How's that?
And it's still fun.
Yeah.
Still fun.
The game's great.
Yeah. The mask where I can dance, and I danced in front of the two girls whose teacher died.
All the dungeons are the stages of grief.
Oh, God, I get it.
I haven't formed the band yet, though. That's
what are you doing?
You keep saying it like it's really, really obvious.
As someone who did not play that game when it came out and tried to go to it for the first time in around 2010, it was not very fun. It was, in fact, sort of infuriating.
I'm going to actively keep trying to convince you to play this game.
Sooner or later, I'll do it.
I want to be there when you do it.
Okay.
I'll be there when you play in the band.
We can make that happen, I'm sure.
Evan, I don't know if you've heard of this one Legend of Zelda game called The Minish Cap, but...
I have.
Highly recommend.
Minish Cap's
call it better than Link to the Past.
Ugh.
I'm sure that's true.
Yes.
You know, most things are better than Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Minish Cap
is the Lion King.
I got the Hyrule Historia.
Yeah.
Thing's cool. There's a lot of art in that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was like 50 bucks.
I object to it on principle.
What's that?
Because of that weird timeline.
Because that timeline is full of bullshit.
Like, I'm sure there's a lot of good, like, art asset stuff in there.
Yep.
But I feel like... It's being framed as, finally, a compendium of the history of the Zelda franchise. And any bullshit about trying to draw a line through those games, I just can't stand.
No, that's only, like, one page. The rest of it is just art assets and talking about the development.
Right, yeah. I get that, and that's cool, but it's also called the Hyrule Historia.
Yeah, I understand that. The whole reason I got it was because I was like, Clint, look, the Hyrule Historia... It's like $25 on Amazon. And Clint No, I told you, you were like...
No,
because Clint was like, look, this thing just has a whole bunch of art in it.
You were like, no. You were like, should I get that Hyrule Historia thing? I was like, it's like $25 on Amazon. You were like, oh, that sounds like a great price. And I was like, do you like art? I love art. All right, then get it. And then
that,
you got it.
That is a lot of art.
Yeah, it's a lot of art.
It's good.
Well, you did buy the whole Civilization series one time.
Well, that is true. And he bought The Witcher 1 and 2, didn't even realize that he had The Witcher 1 and 2.
I had a feeling that I had The Witcher 1. I didn't remember if I had 1 or 2.
Well, I mean, I can't really blame him because those games seem so forgettable to begin with.
Nope, they're great.
Damn. But to be fair, everyone's Steam libraries probably have like 5 games they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe make that like 80.
For Ryan. Yeah. More.
You get caught up in the Steam summer sale mentality and it's like oh, deal of the day.
I have the video game version of Ticket to Ride.
It's just like, oh, $5 for Red Faction Gorilla? I'd be losing money if I didn't buy that.
Yeah, that's true. It's like anything under $5, I just want it to automatically buy for me.
Yeah. Yep.
I have Time Shift and Star Wars Dark Forces.
Like, yeah, tell it, hey, I've got $20.
Valve, like, oh, no, you really slipped up this time.
Like, I got $20 a month for you, and I got all of these games that I really, really want. Just whenever it goes down in price to, like, $5, maybe $10, you, like, send me an email, but just, like, buy it for me.
Oh, no.
That'd be great. With the power of the PlayStation 4.
Damn. Look, Clint.
Yep.
I just downloaded this DLC for you.
Uh-huh.
I thought you might like it.
Uh-huh.
I saw that you watched somebody play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I was watching
Assassin's Creed, but I thought you might like it.
Well,
so
I was watching all the bug videos in Assassin's Creed, and then it just downloaded that George Washington pack for me. I don't understand.
But it knows what you like.
But
that's a gift that to 3 of your friends.
But
I'm pretty sure there has never been a single service like that that's ever been accurate.
No. Well, no.
Libraries and iTunes.
Like, Amazon does a pretty good job of giving me suggestions, like recommendations based on my buying habits, and Netflix does a pretty good job of giving me more shitty movies to watch after watching other shitty movies. So.
See, for me, it's like, hey, you watch this Louis C.K. special? Maybe you The Water Boy. Like, what?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, mine's like, hey, you watched this South Park episode. You want to check out 13 Going on 30?
Hey, that movie.
Right, they did.
No.
The movie's not bad.
That was my first PG-13 movie. 13 Going on 30 was the first PG-13 movie I saw in theaters.
Racy. Yeah. I'd under the Netflix was like, hey, we see you liked Buffy. Maybe you should watch Charmed. And I turned off my computer.
It's a classic. It's a classic. You'd like this.
They do have similar themed.
So, Clint,
they're angels.
Evan, and
show.
I did a thing. I fell asleep halfway through this thing.
Yeah, we tried to watch Mystery Science Theater, Man on Hands of Fate, and then Ryan falls asleep because, well, that movie's terrible.
I was really tired. I was really.
You did miss around like 20 to 25 minutes of women fighting in dirt.
Yeah, that's true. You did.
I did go back and watch that movie today. The rest of that movie today, and bad movie.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's one of the best movies ever made.
Right.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Torgo is the unsung hero of that movie.
No, he's very much sung. Do you see the way Torgo exits that movie?
And how
he's running out to the darkness with a flaming stub of an arm.
And that love triangle. Oh,
yeah.
So great.
Yeah. That part where it's just like, is just like those women beating up Torgo.
Yeah.
By like
that movie actually invented the horror genre.
That's true. No. Did you know?
Oh, shit. I'm doing that.
Nope.
So now,
you know, there's more to that movie that you guys haven't seen because they had to edit it for the length of the broadcast.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Like, I've seen the full version of Torgo, and it has the full version of Torgo. I've seen the full version of Torgo, man.
Gross.
I've seen the full version of Manos, The Hands of Fate, and there's probably like 15 to 20 minutes more to that movie.
Yeah. I really want to see Plan 9 from Outer Space now.
I think Plan 9's a little overplayed, personally. Yeah. It's really bad.
Yes,
it is. But at a point, like, sometimes things transcend their worth as being so bad it's good.
Yeah.
When enough people, like, latch onto it as a cult thing. And I sort of feel that way about Plan 9 at this point.
Or when there's a really good movie about the development of that movie.
For sure. That is a really good movie.
Ed Wood.
Ed Wood is a really good movie.
Yep.
Tim Burton's finest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Planet, you should probably see Planet 9.
It's no Sweeney Todd, though.
I also want to watch Child Bride, just because the Riff Tracks guys say that is the worst movie they've ever seen.
I have no idea what that movie is.
It's apparently a really old movie. That's really controversial.
Child Bride.
Yeah, it's this movie.
I think that's the movie that... I remember hearing something about a movie once on Mystery Science Theater that they watched and started writing for, and they were like, this is just too fucking messed up to put on our show.
It probably is, because there is the whole thing about Child Bride. Like, one of the things is there is a lengthy topless scene with a 12-year-old.
Yeah, whoa.
Okay. I remember this movie now.
It was... You had me until the...
The 12 part?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, that's not why I want to see this movie.
If it was like a year later and in Japan, then maybe...
If it was Risei Kujikawa.
Hey, just check out Persona 4 Golden.
She's not topless. I gotta get fan art for that. Oh, gross.
What are you...
They're technically topless.
Oh, it is also called Dust to Dust when it was reissued in the USA.
I see. Instead of Child Bride.
Instead of Child Bride.
We're burying the lead a little bit.
Because the movie is like basically a PSA for, hey, all these states that still have child marriage law or don't have child marriage laws, you should make those.
See. Sounds compelling. Is what I'm trying to say.
I wonder how much a copy of Rush 2 costs.
Why? I find myself thinking that a lot.
Yeah, what the... Bit of a non sequitur. Yeah, anything else, Ryan?
No, that's pretty much it. I finished watching the Office UK.
That show's good.
Yeah.
That's the fourth best show I've seen.
I really like the note that show ends on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problems I had with Finch were all resolved between the last interactions between him and David Brent.
I think The British Office is among the best television comedies.
Yeah. I can agree
because
with that.
It's sort of the most depressing show ever made.
In a weird way, yeah.
Because it's all about how these people and their shitty lives can't get the energy to move out of them.
It certainly ends happily, though.
Yeah, but in a way that's still pretty true to the show. Because
yeah, sure.
It's like... Because it's all, like, small gains. In theory, they could all backfire in, like, a week.
That show was a good defense of the six-episode British TV structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is... They never stopped running out of good ideas.
Right.
Show.
But after 9 seasons...
That's true. There are some 9-season British comedies that are superb, though.
Well, they're also 6 episodes.
That's true. But.
Yep. And then there are some, like, 20-some episode, 9-season United States shows.
That are terrible in the latter half.
I mean, Buffy's really long, and that didn't run out of ideas for the most part.
7
comedies.
Sure.
Yeah. Comedies.
But, like, serialized dramas, too. A little easier to lengthen in that way. Yeah.
Friends was pretty solid.
Friends was solid.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it can't be done. I'm not saying it can't be.
It's just
Arrested. No,
Arrested Development was
just gonna make me sad, Clint.
Yeah, that's
why are you making
Arrested Development is coming back. Yeah. Like the craziest thing that could be happening with that show.
That's
is
true. In May,
it shouldn't have to come back. It shouldn't have left.
10 episodes.
13. 13? They extended it.
Awesome.
Yeah. They ended up shooting more than they planned, so they just made 3 more episodes.
Oh, but man.
That Holt is not going to be in the new series.
Okay, I don't want to rock the boat. I think I'm glad Arrested Development was canceled. Here's my reasoning. The third season of that show, worst season of that show.
But yeah. Also kind
of. But still pretty good.
It's also kind of the best, though.
Look,
no, it's like really they take the whole referencing themselves a little too far.
No. I'm talking about Save Our Bluths and stuff like that.
Sure. No, there's a lot of good stuff in season 3. I'm just saying that it felt like they could not maintain the level of excellence.
Yeah, you're probably right, but
to a degree, the fact that that show, I still think the third season is really good and has some great stuff in it, so it is, on the whole, still very consistently good.
But after like 5 or 6 years, it could be good again.
Now, if you want to talk about Firefly being cut too short.
No, that's the perfect length of a televised show.
Yeah. Show was pretty much fucking finished getting warmed up when they cut that.
Law and Order went for 20 years.
Yep.
Take that, Joss Whedon.
Jeez.
What?
I can buy this copy of Rush 2 for $6.
Why?
Oh, good.
Because I think that Rush 2 was an awesome game.
Really, him announcing the price for Rush 2 was like a coda to the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Just because of the stunt track.
Played Rush 2.
Ryan, did you ever play Rush 2?
No.
I don't know what that is. Man.
It's this really awesome not racing game. Basically, there's this track. It's called the stunt track, and that's really the only place that you need to be playing Rush 2. And you just you have this open track. It's really big for N64 level, and there are just all these jumps and stuff, and you just do flips and shit in your car.
I like how Clint likes to say that this is not a racing game when the subtitle is Extreme Racing USA.
Yeah, but that's not the part that you go to the stunt track level. That's it. Like, okay, that's the best part of the game.
Guys.
Yeah.
I have something very important to tell you all. There's only one left in stock. It's $53.98.
Go on.
It is full auto for the Xbox 360.
Buy it.
I played full auto.
What about Auto Assault?
I probably played Auto Assault. You can get full auto and Blood Drive together for only $68.78.
Sold.
Oh.
Because those games are apparently frequently bought together. I'm seeing a side of Xbox 360 players that I don't want to see. The kind who's on Amazon is like, yep, I need full auto and Blood Drive.
Mm, yeah. Well, hey, guys, Ryan, you done with your video game talking?
I think I am.
Cool.
What about you, Clint?
Me?
Yeah.
Did you buy the graphics card yet?
No, I'm probably not going to.
Just get the Titan X.
I watched a couple movies. The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I hear that's good.
It was really upsetting. It's good in that.
It reminded Clint of his lost youth.
It's good in that indie. It wears its like indiness on its sleeve, if that makes any kind of sense at all.
It's also a weird movie because I'm pretty sure it was directed by the guy who wrote the book.
Correct, and also wrote the script.
You don't say.
Nope, I do say. Yeah, so that movie's sad and stuff, and I'm kind of upset that I watched that one second when I should have watched Pitch Perfect second, because that movie is delightful.
That's a good movie.
It's delightful. Anna Kendrick's in it.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. And she's all like singing a cappella with a whole bunch of ladies. And
that sounds partly like because of movie. Anna Kendrick. Partly because that movie's just pretty good.
Yeah, it's like 85% Anna Kendrick.
And then 25%.
That's not movie.
No, it's 15.
Not. That's 110%.
Well,
that's fine with me.
That's the new 100%.
So you said you watched 3 movies.
Did I?
Yes.
I thought he said 2.
Yeah, I thought I said 2.
Pretty sure you said 3. Matthew, weigh in.
He said 3.
You watched Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Yeah, that's the 3rd one. I might have.
Are you sure you weren't thinking of Rush Hour 2?
No.
You were watching on a monitor while playing Rush 2 on another monitor?
Oh, yeah. Man, that'd be so what about, good.
What about Fast 5?
That'd be real great doing that. Yeah.
When does your Fast and Furious come in?
I just sent those 2 movies back, so they're coming this week, probably around like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
What were the 2 movies you had?
What? Pitch Perfect and Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, before that.
What? Before that, Soylent Green and The Savages.
It's the greatest double feature in the history of cinema.
No, I didn't.
Why are you guys watching the Fast and Furious?
Because,
movies?
You know what? They seem like fun movies.
So here's the thing.
They seem fun.
I can get the Fast and Furious Complete Collection on Blu-ray for $57.
My God.
Buy it.
It's not the Complete Collection. They've shot like 4 more of them.
2.
It is a Complete Collection up to this point.
Had they seriously already shot 2 more of those movies?
Well, they're shooting the next 2 back-to-back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Similar in scope.
They're afraid Vin Diesel is just going to die.
No, there are more Fast and Furious movies than Lord of the Rings movies. That means they're better.
That's true. There's going to be more James than Bond. Star Wars.
Well, that's why Moonraker is the greatest movie of all time.
It's true.
How many Moonraker movies are
there? There is one Moonraker movie, but it stars James Bond.
So here's the other thing.
Yep.
I can get the Die Hard 25th anniversary
$40. Is that just Die Hard, or is that...
Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live for Your Die Hard, and Decoding Die Hard on Blu-ray.
Just
buy Die Hard.
Yeah, just buy Die Hard and...
a good copy of Die Hard.
And Die Hard with a Vengeance.
3 bad movies?
Just Die Hard and Die Hard with a Vengeance. And Die Hard 2, if you can get it like $5, because that movie's
okay.
Die Hard
with a Vengeance isn't worth your time.
Because the whole part where he realizes that they're shooting blanks the entire time, that was...
Spoilers.
I'm proceeding to check out with this Fast 5 thing.
Don't do that.
I mean Fast and Furious Collection.
I don't think you should do that.
Why?
Why are you doing that?
Because can we just rename our podcast, listen to people talk about their Amazon carts?
You should add heavyweights to your cart.
Why?
Can you either talk about video games or throw it a break?
Because then we can talk about we can watch heavyweights together.
You shouldn't.
Have you never seen heavyweights before?
No, I have.
Heavyweights is great.
No, it's not.
It's real good.
Guys, for some reason, I have an attack plaque shark in my cart saved for later, and I don't know why. And it's $60.
We lead interesting lives.
No, you don't.
So this week, what video games have I played? Played that Witch's House. That's pretty cool. I'm going to play more of that.
Okay.
Played some Amnesia with you guys. That'll go up later this week.
Oh, you finally did that?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to we're going to let the viewership decide which of 2 games we play.
Yep.
Okay.
So
you could also get the Big Green for $10. Never seen the Big Green.
What?
The Big Green.
I hate you so fucking much.
But it's from the creators of Angel in the Outfield.
Keep talking.
What about Blank Check?
No. That movie is so bad.
I feel like we've talked about Blank Check on the podcast before.
Done. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah.
I'm done. So
it was like many weeks ago, though.
I'm done.
So I also beat The Witcher.
I don't give a fuck.
That game is pretty cool. It's got some real good stuff in there. That ending's pretty great. And then I immediately started The Witcher 2.
Yeah?
And I played 11 hours.
Boring, I see.
You played like 30 minutes of the game.
I know. I'm not making any sort of judgment on the game.
You are definitely making a judgment on the game.
It was a joke. God damn it.
Now I just want to get and watch Sandlot because the kid in the big green is in Sandlot.
Yeah, totally. Sandlot's a good movie.
What do you think about Sandlot, Evan?
Then we can also get...
I don't.
We can also get Cool Runnings. And,
is that the dog sled movie?
I never thought I'd
say that. No, it's not a dog sled movie. It's a bobsled movie.
Right. No, the dog sled movie is Snow Dogs.
Yeah. Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr. Right. Yeah.
I have a weird history with that movie because I watched that like 5 times at like the after school Y program, and then my dad really wanted to see it, and then he immediately thought it was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Because he was a dentist, and then he inherited the sled dogs.
Clint,
it's really
Clint.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never thought I'd say this, but could you please talk about The Witcher 2?
Yeah, The Witcher 2 is really good. I played 11 hours of it in one day.
Christ.
Yeah. Because I didn't have anything going on that day, so I just played The Witcher 2. And I was really, really engrossed in it, and I'm going to play more of that coming up soon. I'm just kind of busy right now, but I'm going to get right into that and just...
Stew and The Witcher.
The Witcher 2 is a much better game than The Witcher.
You don't say.
In just about every single way.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the game looks fantastic. It plays a lot better than the first Witcher. And, it just all around, it's just a much better game. Like, they're fleshing out the lore in really interesting ways, and the game has done this really cool thing. I just reached this branching point where I made this major decision where I was choosing between siding with one faction or the other, and now there are two distinct paths in the game, so it just branches, and you're never going to see the other areas of the game.
Yeah.
Unless you play it a second time. And I'm really interested to see...
that is the thing with The Witcher 2.
To see where it goes. That's not the thing. It's just one of the things.
That is... I think that is the thing I've heard the most about The Witcher 2.
But it's not the thing. There are more things.
There's... I guess technically, yes.
And so, it was just this weird moment...
It's not just a text adventure where you say yes or no.
It was just this weird moment where I decided... Like I had the decision placed in front of me, or at least the first part of the decision where I had the ability, and it was a timed one. It was the first time choice of the game where I had the ability to give an elf his sword or to just start fighting. And in that moment, I was just like, oh, fuck, I'm going to need to give him a sword in order for us to beat these guys. And so then I was like, well, you know, this guy's not so bad, but he's also a total asshole. But so is...
Yeah, he's an elf.
So is the human guy. Like, the human guy is a disgusting sleazebag, but the elf is a disgusting sleazebag for an entirely different reason. So it's just, hey, what's the lesser of two evils here? And I chose to side with the Scoia'tael for the second time in a row.
Is there any sort of good, like elf epithet? Like some elf racism?
There's a lot of elf racism. Basically... In towns,
the thing they call elves.
No. Well, they call all elves and dwarves non-humans. And they like they're in towns. There's always a slum area where they put all of the elves and dwarves. Okay. But then there are the Scoia'tael, which are elves that are fighting against human oppression, and so it's really weird. Like, they were about to burn down this town, and I was like, wait, don't you realize that there are non-humans that live in here too? And they're like, yeah, but I mean, they're living with the humans. They are dead to us already.
Oh, so Sodom and Gomorrah.
So we're just gonna burn them to the motherfucking yep. ground.
And I feel like they had the right idea, and they were so close to a really good fucking epithet. It is Skoy. Have a bunch of people calling elves, like, under their breath, like, yeah, we shouldn't do what he says, a fucking Skoy. Like, that sounds... Like, then I'd be on board.
Well, no, I don't... I think
like, non-human?
I think there's another name that they call elves, but I can't think of it off the top of my...
Because I need believable fantasy racism.
Sure. I can't remember exactly, but the Skoyatel are just a guerrilla war group. They're a PMC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nanomachines?
Yeah.
Metal Gear?
Not yet.
Damn.
Yeah.
Losing me.
Well, yeah, no, this wiki doesn't have anything about another name for elves. I mean...
Well, now I'm definitely never going to play The Witcher.
There's this article against non-humans, so maybe there's something in there. Who knows? Anyway, I really like that game. I think it is really, really good. And for the first time in a while, I'm actually, like, digging into, you know, like, Codex Entry, like, journal stuff. Only sometimes do that. And
I never do that.
This world is super interesting, so I'm definitely doing that. But it's a good game. It's a really good game.
Yeah.
It opens really strongly. Yeah.
Cool.
Really brings you right in the world. And if you played The Witcher, you can import your save, and it takes, like, all of your different decisions, like Mass Effect. But a lot of them are more or less more circumstantial in The Witcher 2. Like, a lot of the issues that come up don't tie into those. It's more like the cross between, like, Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2. You know, you get a whole bunch of emails or whatever. In this game, there are a lot of passing references. Like, in the first mission, there's a callback to the king's daughter and whether or not you killed her. It's pretty cool. I killed her.
Dang.
Yeah. Well, she was a...
I'd imagine that the leap from 2 to 3 would probably be more substantial with the save import.
That's what I hear.
Since it sounds like, you know...
It's the end of a trilogy.
I don't know if I can say this, but it's the thing with The Witcher 2 that you can split paths, and that's probably, like, a big deal for 3.
Probably. I hope that it is as cool as what I've heard, because I was looking at the wiki, and I came across this quest that you do, and the weird thing was, in both instances, because it's a quest that follows through in both threads, because that's the main story, but it happens differently between the characters. Anyway, you still do the same fist fight, but with a different character in a different location. But it was two different pictures of two different fist fights, but it was in the same quest, so I'm wondering if the quest structure is going to change based on which path you're choosing, or if it's going to be a lot of the same stuff between the two. I don't know. I might play it twice.
Yeah.
Going through The Witcher after 11 hours, there was this cutscene that happened that talked about the Wild Hunt, and I can't wait, because the Wild Hunt is the subtitle for The Witcher 3, and that sounds great!
Cool.
Yeah, the Wild Hunt is not a hunt with a bunch of... It's not what you think it is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I never seriously thought that it was like Duck Hunt, but in The Witcher.
That's actually what I thought it was going to be. Like, it was just going to be this, like, everyone is going to go out and hunt monsters, but no, not at all.
I'm going to make a guess.
Huh.
It involves, in a most dangerous game sort of way, human v. human hunting.
No. I'm going to guess, because I know what the the hunt, the Wild Hunt is. Geralt is being hunted.
Sort of, but not really.
Kind of.
He used to be hunted. Well, he's still kind of being hunted, but in like a different way. Basically, yeah. Geralt died, you guys, and this is like in the opening minutes of The Witcher 1. He's like, you died, but you came back to life, and that's why your memories are gone. Anyway.
That's... okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's one way of doing that.
But
so...
At that point, you might as well just say he has amnesia.
I want a new Duck Hunt to be a pack-in for the PS4.
They do say that he has amnesia multiple times, in fact. It's like a running thing where they're just like, I'm sorry. Like, a character comes up and they'll be like, oh, Geralt, it's been a long time. He's like,
I have amnesia.
I have amnesia. I don't know you.
And it's hard to bounce back from that.
But it's really cool because, like, as the game progresses, I'm unlocking those little bits of his past, like figuring out what happened in order to, and that led him to this point, which is really cool because that character's real cool. That game's just, man, that game's so awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe I have to play the first Witcher to get into the Witcher 2.
Not necessarily. It does a really good job of like sinking you into the world if you just like open up a little bit, like let it grab you.
I did. And yeah, it just
30 minutes.
I did that.
30 minutes.
I've played like 40. And it didn't do a ton for me. So maybe the extra push I need is the background of the Witcher. Who knows?
I can give you that.
I'd probably rather play it than hear it second.
Will you give me the power, Clint? Yeah.
Did you give me the power?
Are you the murderer?
Are you the killer? I'm sorry.
All I know is that...
It's definitely over.
That Striga is an evil son of a bitch. You need to kill it.
The what?
And the end of The Witcher directly links into The Witcher 2. Like, it's a month later. It's pretty cool.
I should probably play The Witcher.
Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah, well, not a good game, but it's a good story.
There we go.
Is that all you've done, Clint, The Witcher? And some movies?
I feel like there was something else. No, I mean, I wrote that feature on Persona 4.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you see all those N4G comments?
Yeah, I did.
That one asshole who was talking smack about Chie.
Yeah, I should give him a new one. New Chie.
A new one?
A new like, Chie.
Buy him a present or something?
Yeah. So that's it. Podcast's over. We're done. There's no more podcasts, so.
Hey, all Evan.
Right. Yeah?
Did you know that, like, are the Cowboy Bebop tracks you're listening to just those tracks you sent me? Because there's a second CD.
There's like 7 CDs.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
All right, just making sure.
For the time being. My phone is shitty and only 16 gigabytes. So.
Come on, get with the times. Fair. You need 32 or bust.
I know.
What do I have?
Just wait for the 6 or the 5S. That's what's coming.
My iPod has like
that eight. Hard to get $1,500, right?
No.
I'm sure Google there's glasses. Some bullshit way I can get $1,500.
What
prostitution?
So does that like come with a phone, or is it the phone, or
what? The Google glasses?
Yeah,
they are the phone.
They are the phone.
Yeah.
So they're the everything.
A fucking.
It's like having a video game UI.
On your head.
Right,
you can
yeah.
get a thing and say picture, and it takes a picture.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then you can ask it how long is the Brooklyn Bridge.
I can picture it now, it'll take a picture.
Nope,
too smart.
Oh.
It's the way of the future.
You have to, like, throw in a, like, command word first, like how you say connect.
No, you have to, so you have to
you
hold
look
up.
Like an idiot, but also in public.
No. This is how it works. Okay, so you hold up your fingers in the form of a picture frame, and then like around the frame of where you want it to take the picture, and then you click with your right index finger like you're actually taking a picture, then it takes it.
Now, are Google Glasses prescription?
That's what I'm wondering, because if it is, then definitely, I definitely get some.
Man, what if someone shot a movie on Google Glasses?
That'd be the best.
Oh, man. So the wave of...
Now I'm just wondering what's going to happen to the porn industry with Google Glasses.
With Google Glasses.
Well,
point of view.
To be fair, whenever any...
Finally found innovation.
Even irrelevant new technology comes out, that's immediately what you wonder.
48 frames.
Point of view porn is going to take on a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Google
PlayStation 4 will automatically load up porn that you like.
Google Glasses will be able to be prescription.
Cool. I'm just waiting for the 4K 48 frames porn.
Right.
Yeah, clearly that's the next step.
Oh no, I think it's a little too fast for me.
It looks unnatural. You can really see like the sets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I play video games, so I'm sort of used to things moving at that speed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
I've got The Witcher 2 running at, like, ultra everything, except for the motion blur and VSync. I don't have those on. And I get, like, 42 frames a second.
So your GPU would help you out with that?
Yeah, if I crossfired, yeah, totally. I'm going to get the motion blur and the VSync, and then I'd run it at a solid 60 through the entire game.
What if your computer lights on fire, a la Evans?
It wouldn't happen.
It didn't light on fire.
I take good care of
it. There was just a sudden burst of flame that shot out of the fan. That's all that happened.
And weren't there ants in there? Something?
No,
that was in my MacBook, and those are gone.
Oh.
I don't even know how they got in there or why they were in there, but that was really weird. That was a weird time.
I've got this fucking artisan Falcon Northwest tower. That's just, it's great. It's got
liquid
cooling.
The next evolution of the Novent Falcon.
Falcon Northwest.
Do you have to keep like refilling the liquid?
No.
Oh, okay.
Keeps it cool. It's weird because when I bought a Falcon Northwest computer, god damn it, Clint.
You're welcome.
I was painfully aware that I was paying more money than I needed to just for the sake of convenience. I did it anyway.
Yeah, I told you I could help you build a PC. And you were like,
No, you know what I like from electronics? Like a giant thing I plug in and it works.
So
that's my dream. And the good people at Falcon Northwest, they sent me like a fucking just treasure trove of shit. I got a T-shirt for going with it. I got a coffee mug and Falcon Northwest brand like gamer fuel coffee beans.
Oh yeah, how much of that have you used?
None, because I don't really drink coffee.
What the hell, man?
You know what wakes me up in the morning? Hmm. Life. Yeah. Energy. The desire to create and watch others create. Have I mentioned the Google Glasses porn?
Yes. So I'm gonna put this picture of this girl's Facebook in the chat.
What are you...
Because it just popped up on my feed. I just, in the top right.
Oh, God.
Look how weird.
How much RAM do
like
you have?
Those four panel things. Look how weird this girl's, like, pose is. In the top right.
Oh, you mean the like, boobs out, arm back on the girl's thigh?
No, but she's,
thigh?
Like, touching the other girl's thigh.
Yeah, that's like... the weird part.
Yeah.
I've noticed this thing, and I don't know if it's just a reaction or if it's like a thing that girls just do whenever a camera's in their face, but they'll
this
like...
This is going... There's no way this could go bad.
Yeah.
No.
We should hit the record button
okay.
Before we...
So, we are. But there's like this...
Oh, Jesus.
There's this, like, say there are two girls in a photo, okay? So they'll like both be holding on to the other one's waist... But then they'll be like, you know, their top half is just as far back from the other girl as humanly possible.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And they're smiling, but you know deep down inside that they're about to like smack each other.
And you're, yeah.
And women, am I right? Jeez, the they all do these things, and they're so weird and funny.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
No, I don't. You know why?
Well, you don't have any girlfriends. That's why. How much RAM does your PC have?
Like 8 gigabytes.
Okay, well that's pretty.
Like
good.
A lot.
Is your computer the PS4?
My computer is very sophisticated.
Is your computer basically a PS4?
I'm not. What? The PS4's GPU was like a supercharged PC GPU, so yeah. I have no idea.
So you have a 680?
I have a GTX 680.
Okay. Then you're there.
I am on the high end of. I mean, I don't have a Titan.
Now, if you had a 690 or.
Yeah, well, I'm fine with the 680.
You sure?
Yeah, kept it under.
You want to get that Mach 5?
I have two SSDs, though.
Yeah? How's that treating you?
Pretty well. I've got two SSDs and one, like, normal hard drive that's 2 terabytes. So I put all of my shit on the normal hard drive, but Windows is loaded onto the SSD, one of the SSDs.
Did you configure your Falcon, or did you just buy one?
No, I configured it through drop-down menus.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yes, I configured my own Falcon. I built it.
Is it the Talon? Or is it the Mach 5? Or is it the Frag Box?
It's not the Frag. It might be the Talon. It's a small tower.
Okay, then it's it's not a mini PC, but it's like a mid tower, not a full tower.
Yeah. Okay. It's very condensed. Open it up and there's no room inside.
Okay, well then that's the Talon.
Okay, yes, I have a Talon.
Okay.
I think I have a $2,500 Talon.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was. But you know what? I got some inheritance. I was like, I'm going to treat myself, get rid of this shitty.
Hey, you know what? I'm not faulting you for it. You got a PC that's going to last you a long time.
I know. I need to get one of the USB ports replaced, though.
Now, what
the plastic came off, and now it's just unusable.
Are you going to shove in another like 16 gigabytes of RAM?
Nah, I don't need it.
You should do it.
Eh, I'm just so. Like, I have this constant fear that there's a thing that, like, everybody knows about maintaining computers that I just missed, like, the lecture on, and that it's going to explode at any moment. So the less I have to worry about it, the better. Like, I'm always, the whole time I was playing Crysis 3, I was a little worried that my computer was going to explode. Realistically worried, but, you know, it was in the back of my head.
My motherboard has this thing where, it'll tell me if my computer might explode. Most of the time, my
computer just shuts off if it might explode.
Oh, well, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's handy. But, I mean, most of the time those are just false warnings. Like one time it said that, I had Steam running, just running. And it said that my computer, was about to overheat. When really it was idling at like just a normal temperature.
Yeah. There's a couple weird things with the Talon though where like maybe I missed a drop down menu, but my HDMI ports on the back were deactivated.
Hmm,
so I had to get a DVI to HDMI like transposer thing to make my streaming setup work. And also just the power cord is really loose to the point where, like, I will be rotating the computer to get back there to get, you know, to the Ethernet jack or a USB port, and it will just turn off.
Just get a USB hub. You don't need to mess with that stuff.
Yeah, I know. There's just so much stuff in this office. I basically got this office. I've slowly been getting more and more stuff as I'm like, well, clearly I need this to make this thing work.
Yeah.
And then that just keeps building until it's a mess. I'm pretty sure I posted pictures of this crazy ramshackle operation I have going here. It's a nightmare. But I'll probably just get another thing that makes it work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I need it.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone needs new stuff.
Without it, how could I stream Famicom games, damn it?
There's no way.
Couldn't.
Nope.
Couldn't. But Clint, you should invest in that Elgato capture box when you have a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so much better than the Hoppage. It's just crazy.
Is that the, like...
That is the PVR I had that you also have.
Yeah, that thing's a piece of junk. I'm wondering if it's the... Is it an actual box, or is it just the cable?
No, it's a box. I mean, it's got... It has, like, an AV out and an HDMI in and an HDMI out, and that's it. It doesn't even have, like...
Mini USB?
It might have a mini USB. It certainly doesn't have any sort of, like, power supply.
So it doesn't have component at all?
No, but it comes with, like, component to
HDMI? AV.
I think it's to AV.
That's weird.
Connectors and stuff. It's good. There's some weird stuff you have to do to get around the,
That's just an S-video port.
Yeah, that's right. It is an S-video port. And that's how you make, like, Famicom shit work. But then, also, there's a bunch of weird stuff with capturing the PS3 because it has the HDCP protection.
Yeah.
You have to get around that, which they give you cables to explicitly get around that. So,
yeah.
It's handy. I'd recommend it.
Oh, that's on Amazon for $160.
Yep. It's a good investment.
Maybe.
Best PVR on the market. And the interface is really slick for the software. Like, streaming and shit is surprisingly easy.
That's cool.
A lot easier if you don't also have to make it work with Skype people.
Sure.
But easy nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And that is my weekly tech review.
Well, there we go.
Do we have any music for my weekly tech review?
Just get the Torgo theme.
Is that good enough? Is that what you?
Oh, I wasn't laughing at that. I just looked up the Tom Sawyer RPG picture.
Here, wait,
Jim's
hold on.
Ridiculous lips.
I got some. Wait, what's happening? I got some hot tech review music for you. Just give me a... There we go. There you go. Is that what you want?
The Elgato Game Capture HD gets a 7.5 out of 10 on a scale of...
Don't you mean a 7.6? I mean, it's pretty good.
7.65 out of 10.
Okay.
Oh, good compromise.
That's just because, you know... It's not quite as good as if you shell out, like, the big bucks.
Yeah, personally, I give it a 7.6582978770 myself. But...
Elgato clearly paid you.
You got me. The Metacritic review for this was a 0 out of 10. They said, I like the design, but I couldn't get to work.
Amazon review said, the UPS guy looked at me funny, gave it 1 star.
What is this, some kind of game?
We just gotta get to the end. Man, this is old school. What was the other? They were all pretty terrible. What was the other one? All guys love games or some shit like that. Maybe that's what Yosuke says.
I think that's what Yosuke says.
And then Teddy's fighting all the monsters while they're complaining about whether or not they want to go and fight him.
Hey, have any of you guys played one of those Disgaea games?
I played like half an hour of Disgaea 3. I bought it for the Vita.
Did you like it?
I did not get far enough to release.
He played half an hour of Disgaea 3.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's, you know, it depends. Do you like that sort of turn-based strategy?
Yeah.
Then you might like Disgaea 3. I recall thinking the music was pretty good.
I put that on my Gamecube, the first one. Because my beat is currently being used by someone else.
For Persona?
Yeah.
Good. Please, just refer to it as the Persona Machine.
Yeah.
My Persona Machine is currently in use.
Please, man, the Persona System.
Yeah.
All right.
Really, Persona Entertainment Console.
Persona System Vehicular...
Persona.
Item Transfer Applicable.
Applicable.
OC.
Should we go to break?
It's like the Virtual Boy, but for Persona.
Oh, Evan, I would totally pay $1 so I could make, just in RPGs across the board, if I could switch on, like, the dungeon music to play through the battle.
Yes!
Yeah.
God damn it, yes.
Yeah, because it did, that was the part I liked in Chrono Trigger, where you go to, like, the crazy futuristic, like, underwater place, and then that battle theme keeps
There's
like,
actually a, I remember... They're floating out there is a patch for a Final Fantasy VI ROM that does that.
Oh, man.
It's the best. Because yeah.
It's like, I want to hear
how less fatiguing it is to deal with battles when the overworld music isn't interrupted and replaced by the battle music.
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
The Super Meat Boy did that to great effect.
Sure.
There are no battles in Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy's music would fall apart if it didn't do that. Because it's the same 10 seconds of music.
5 seconds.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm really happy P. Kohler's getting into Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Binding of Isaac is a good game.
Did you see that they released what the details of Mugenics are?
Oh, what are they?
They want to create... Why don't basically, we move the game's to break all about
and then
creating
we can talk about it in the news
simulator.
Section. Or I could just put on the news music and then we can just talk about it.
Fine.
I don't have any news.
Okay, well, then I'll throw it to the break, and then we can...
Wait, this isn't...
We've been recording, Matthew.
Oh. I just sort of...
Break time!
That racist shit I said.
Yeah.
And we're back into the podcast.
Ooh.
It may seem like only seconds to you, but for us, it was a lot longer.
Ooh.
Yep.
Here we
are. And Evan told me to cut it, so if you want to know what we were talking about, blame him.
We were just, like, talking about music for an hour.
It was a lot more than just music. Mostly music, but there was a lot more in there.
So I'm going to go. Don't wake me up before you go.
I think you're lying, Clint.
No, I'm actually not lying.
I think you're lying. I have an inkling that you're lying.
There was some great stuff in there, and
yeah, our best bits.
Talking about NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and
oh, you mean music?
Yeah,
and you know, like cutting yourself in suicide.
There we go, Ryan.
Hit
you're
the
breaking
news
up.
Music.
Had that queued up for about an hour now.
Good. Yeah. So apparently games on the PS4, and we'll talk about the PS4 broadly later.
Nope, we're not going to talk about it at all.
Oh, okay.
Video games are done.
According to Jack Tretton, PS4 titles will be shockingly anywhere from 99 cents to $60.
Oh, that wasn't a...
Yeah. No price increase.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool because that just means, you know, it's going to open up to developers. Like, they can do whatever price they want. And that'll be real, real good for them, you know. We'll be able to see quality of games anywhere from 99 cent Angry Birds to full $60 Killzone and
everything
in between.
I don't think that... I mean, technically that applies to the Xbox.
No, not really. None at all. The Xbox says, yeah, hey, $10.
The titles on the Xbox range from 99 cents in price to $60 in price.
He has a point.
What thing? What
title, he's saying doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to start doing what, $30 and $40 games.
What title on the Xbox is a dollar?
20. I don't know. Breath of Death 7?
Okay, not I mean, on the indie channel. Are.
What?
Like, the Xbox Indie Channel is the dark cesspool that Microsoft just shoves everyone. It says, whatever.
Like, right, but there's still a dollar in their games, and they're on the console.
All I'm saying is that the way that they're portraying the...
They also didn't even say free, which is kind of weird.
The way that they're... Well, microtransactions would take any kind of free-to-play game out of the... Free. Okay. But anyway, the what I'm trying to say is the way that they're positioning this console and the way that event went, it makes some amount of sense that, like, the PlayStation is becoming this open architecture for developers to do what they want with. I mean, Jonathan Blow was out on stage for crying out loud.
Sure. I mean, They said, you know, good things about, like, setting up developer relationships. I don't know if that necessarily translates to
different. Who knows? Price Who knows? Structures. We don't know. But, you know, you can hope
All
for the
can
best.
Do
and
is sit back and speculate.
Yeah. I mean, if the PlayStation Network turns into Steam on a console, that'd be cool.
Hey, guys.
That would be cool.
Speaking of speculation, an analyst who shall remain nameless has some shocking news.
Is it Michael Pachter?
It's not Michael Pachter. Oh. But he thinks that a good price point for the PS4
Go on.
Would be under $400.
No.
Whoa.
No.
Let's all not rock the boat here.
No.
And he thinks they might release it in two models, one under $300 and one under $400. And that the magic price point is $299.
That's a pipe dream.
I just wanted to share that news with you.
That's too crazy.
So
how much the Wii U's 350, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well the proper one is the deluxe.
Yeah. I'm saying all this and
yeah.
That thing's gonna be 8 gigs of DDR5.
It cannot be more than 500. It might be 499.
But 8 gigs
I feel like 500. I think Sony realizes that
they can't have another $699.
Yeah. Oh my god!
But what 8 gigs of GDDR5.
I understand.
I mean, what?
I predict $499. I'm tossing my head in. With
you know that would be good. I'd say that if they, I think that Microsoft's probably going to put the price point out there first. But if I had to guess, I'd say they might go $350 just because of the competitive price point that they put the Vita at.
Yeah.
I mean, that the competitive price point's encouraging. I don't know. I mean,
at a point, you just have to figure, like,
at some point, maybe $400. I would think that the most we could get is $400.
Maybe $400. Yeah, maybe.
Is Sony comfortable selling this at a loss until they start selling video games?
Yeah.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? The Tomb Raider PC specs have been released.
Oh yeah. Can you send those to me? I need to take a look at those.
Well, I was going to mention them.
Well, I want to just mention them then.
Oh, okay. So the minimum requirements, obviously, got your basic DirectX 9, got your 512 megs of RAM.
Sorry,
you need at least.
I shouldn't laugh
at
like
least
that.
Radeon HD 2600.
Oh, jeez. I had that in my old PC from like 6 years ago.
So the recommended requirements.
Yeah, give me those.
Gigabyte of RAM, DirectX 11,
yep.
Radeon 4870, GTX 480.
Okay. I think I'm going to buy that on PC.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
Yeah. You're
reviewing that game.
Yes, I am. I heard that that is also going to be the best looking version of the game.
It also has the most rape.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah, it was a pre-purchase.
You have to download it.
It was
has more frames per rape.
Well, no, it was a pre-purchase reward unlock. I don't know if you know this, but on Steam, there were reward unlocks, and the third one was the rape pack. And
the rape pack.
Yep,
seamlessly integrate these random encounters into your playthrough.
Well, no, it's actually it's part of the multiplayer map, Shantytown. It's a rape.
Oh boy, this is going bad places.
It's like capture the flag, but
oh god.
There you
go,
man.
What are we talking about?
Matthew, you killed it.
Tomb Raider.
Oh god. Oh.
Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider.
That, I hope that game's good.
Yeah.
I think it looks good, but I hope it's good.
You know, Crystal Dynamics wasn't just laid off as soon as that game went gold, so
I am just skeptical of every game that is releasing on current generation of consoles.
Well, hey.
Because I was burned too much in 2012.
Yeah, but games are still good, so.
Well, I think games are worse than they were in, like, 2 years ago, on the whole.
Well, it's no Super Famicom anymore.
Yeah, it's no Super Famicom.
Look, the Super Famicom is a fucking just gold mine of just the best games money can buy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Shin Megami Tensei 1.
Why don't you just take your hipster?
Hey Evan, do you have Megami Tensei?
Go to the next.
I do not have Megami Tensei. I'm afraid.
Keep on moving. Oh, by the way, I found out that sometime, like, the day after Christmas, I for some reason bought Lego Lord of the Rings.
Huh.
On
I
Amazon.
I had that too.
On Amazon for $8. So
I bought that with Hitman?
Yeah.
Pairing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
Hey guys, good news, my finger stopped twitching.
So I should totally download that. No, I'm not. I'm probably not going to download it. I should, though, because I spent $8 on it, but
I think I figured out the reason it was twitching was that I was both typing and while I write, I listen to music, so I was probably absentmindedly tapping my finger to the beat while typing and doing that for too long.
Ah.
You know, I was trying to think of a good name to call pack that would include Lego Lord of the Rings and Hitman, but I couldn't think of
it. I got it. I figured it out. The other game that I played was Guild Wars 2.
Oh. Well, yep. Whatever.
Thanks, Matthew.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure you modded Guild Wars to make the combat easy.
No.
So you didn't actually play Guild Wars 2. You just watched it.
Killzone Shadowfall, I'm just moving right past that.
It's just
Shadowfall is like the most generic subtitle.
Yeah, it's not great. It'll be a PS4 launch title.
Oh, whoa. Don't blow any minds here.
What about Infamous Second Son?
Maybe. I don't have that here.
What about Watch _ Dogs?
Look, this is not information.
There's no underscore.
No, there is.
There totally
there is.
There is in the official title of the game.
Watch _ Dogs.
Oh,
Watch
boy.
Watch _ Dogs. We just have to get used to saying that.
Yep. The more we say it, the more it makes sense.
Hey, I say at not _ found _ blog every podcast. I can
watch
probably handle
dogs.
Watch _ Dogs.
Yep.
Now, is that dogs as in D-A-W-G-Z?
Now, don't let Clint review that game because it's going to have some stupid _ pun
no, there
in the review title.
There wouldn't be any _ pun. No, it would probably
you're
gonna be...
You're going to give it a 3 just so you can say...
Underscored.
Yeah, underscored.
No, no, no. It would probably be Who Let the Watchdogs Out.
Oh, God. You know, you should take a look at my Metal Gear Rising Revenge subtitle, which isn't really a pun. It's just a statement. See, I took the idiomatic in name only and I made it in name, comma, mainly.
Or.
Which is clever and representative of the product as a whole.
Or, Who Watches the Watchdogs?
Oh, God. Wow, somebody knows how to use Twitter. Arma 3 is going to be a Steam exclusive.
Twitter is the pun website of the world. I wouldn't. I...
Arma 3 is a Steam exclusive.
No one cared.
There will be no DualShock support for the PS4.
Wait, what?
DualShock 3.
Yeah. What are you saying?
Have announced a DualShock controller.
Support for the PS4.
Yeah, that's fine. That DualShock 4 controller is going to be...
But the Move is supported.
Real rad. Right?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, Media Molecule has their clay-making game.
Is that an actual game?
No. That was like how they got their inspiration going. And that was real cool. It was nifty.
I just don't want to use a Move.
It was nifty.
I just don't want to smoke how that rolls ever again.
Molding thing would really work.
Hey, maybe you can just use the light bar, Evan.
Sure. Whatever.
From your
Angular extraction from the fucking wand is fine by me.
I'm not even like thinking of it as a game. I'm just thinking like that demo was real nifty.
Sure, sure. It was interesting.
And how they were, I like the concept. You can record your dreams.
Well, of course, you really latched on to that because you just want your Google Glasses to.
Oh man, Google Glasses recording your dreams and you can like watch them back. Oh man, that'd be so cool.
You're not
cool.
Supposed to wear glasses while you sleep.
That's true.
Literally, that's true. The most terrifying thing.
I want.
There's nothing cool to be found there. That is just like watching a really intense and realistic David Lynch movie.
No,
it's like
watching
Mulholland Drive, but it actually happens.
That would be super interesting to see my dreams.
Yeah, I want a conscious mind.
I remember my dreams for like...
No. Not remembering your dreams, but as a conscious mind watching your dreams play out and trying to figure out how you got from that point to that point.
No, I want nothing.
I would just take
that.
The opportunity to fly.
I would spend...
2 steps removed from like... The fucking machine's taken over.
No, it's not.
I don't want it.
If Google Glasses could do that, I would spend $1,500.
Yeah, fucking right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'd lay it down.
There's no Vita price cut for North America, by the way.
You know, Aww. Hey.
Nope, just to compensate for the price fluctuation of the yen, or the value fluctuation.
Also, the PS4 is going to support 4K movies, but not games.
4K pictures.
So you can watch a porn in 4K.
Yeah, sure. 48 frames.
I feel like they're gonna wish they'd supported that by the end of the
maybe.
System.
Who knows? Yeah.
What do you mean 4K games?
Yeah.
I mean
I don't think games will be there. If they're going into this, that would be a next generation thing because it's 4K isn't going to, like, it's not even in stores. There's, like, one TV that's 4K that's in stores now.
There's no reason for it to be, and I don't think that customer base is going to be near big enough for it to even be justified.
Yeah, in, like, 8 years, that'll probably be there.
All right.
When we got walls that are TVs.
The PlayStation 4 will play used games.
Well, there we go.
Yoshida said, like, what the fuck, obviously, because physical software people want to use it everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
which is good.
Yeah. Sure.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Sensible person.
It's just not backwards compatible, so don't just destroy your PS3 as soon as a new system's announced and you'll be fine.
That's true.
A lot of people say that backwards compatibility. I get how backwards compatibility for most people is not really a major concern. Just, or most people probably feel it's more of a concern than it really actually is. But for someone like me, who does play a lot of old games, it's, you know, it's a thing I'd like.
Just like take your PS3 and put it in a shelf and then just say, oh man, I want to play that Heavy Rain.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
No, but Evan.
I just want a new thing that does it.
No, but yeah, but you are also capable of understanding why that isn't a thing and how hard it would be for that
sure.
to be a thing.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of people who are just like...
That's cell architecture. Like, it's a completely different infrastructure.
Look, I understand that my sort of petty wants are very complicated, but they remain
With the power of Gaikai, we can stream all of your backwards compatibility.
The question that Brad Shoemaker posed to Twitter, would you pay an extra $50 or $100 for backwards compatibility?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
But do I get access to those games, or do I get the ability to play the games that I already own?
What?
Backwards compatibility.
No, I mean, like, if I'm paying $50 or $100, is it just tacking on the ability to play the games that I have on my shelf right now, or am I accessing some kind of, like library of games?
No, you will be able to put your PS3 disc you own into a PS4, and it will play your PS3 disc.
No, because I got a PS3.
I would absolutely do that.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so you would pay the extra $100 if it just gave you a of the games you already own?
What? No. Like
the,
you know...
Then why would you ask your question?
Because there's like, the thing where, it's, you know, hey, I'd pay a subscription fee if I got to, you know, play all of Nintendo's titles, you know, online.
Like, I just asked Evan... Would you pay extra money for backwards compatibility?
Just as a function.
Okay, well, yeah, and that's the question that I was trying to, like...
Right.
No, because I got a PS3.
Yes, because sooner or later that PS3 might not work.
Yeah, I would, but it's not overly important for me, and I understand the reasoning behind it, and there's a lot of people who just think, oh, it should just work because this is newer and that stuff's older, so new technology should be able to
just But I will say
in old technology.
The reason I like backwards compatibility is because I had to buy an RF switch for a Famicom.
That's true.
And
then in 35 years everyone's gonna look at HDMI and think it's the worst thing in the world.
Right, exactly. Which is why it would be nice if I didn't have to, you know, like 30 years from now, oh man, I have to buy an old TV has an HDMI port on it.
But like, by then, the Gaikai, your backwards compatibility is in the cloud kind of thing
If that happens.
That
Did
will,
they say anything about storage space?
It's internal hard drive.
What's that?
Internal hard drive. They didn't say like size.
Yeah.
Because they don't know that stuff yet.
Okay.
So John Carmack likes the PS4 system specs.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay,
those are,
John Carmack.
Those are real awesome.
Mostly known for Daikatana.
That's just... John Romero. You got your Johns confused,
I'm
son.
Sorry.
Who's the asshole now?
It's a Rocket Man.
So a bunch of people think that the Xbox 720 might be announced in April, and I'm going to call it the Xbox 720 just to piss everybody on this podcast off.
Just call it the
next box.
Yeah.
No, just call it the next box.
Just call it Xbox.
No, next box.
The next Microsoft gaming console might be announced in April. That's what people suspect.
Well, that'd be cool.
You think, I was just assuming that it would just be an E3 thing.
Well,
I want to get it announced now so that E3 can be all games.
I think E3 is going to be all games, guys.
No, no matter what Microsoft does, it's not going to be all games. They're going to do their home entertainment thing that they always do.
Well, sure. But, I mean, there won't be, like... I don't think there will be a ton of
there won't be
Kinect
a duck demo
at this year's E3.
Oh, no, yeah, there no. will be. Yeah, what? there definitely will be. There will
Not
be
the majority.
The new Kinect. It'll be like it's... half of the show.
No.
I don't think so.
No, it won't.
Well, all right.
I think it is more important to show off your game running normal games that look awesome, like
that's,
visually.
That's what April's for. That's what the Sony event ended up doing.
Sony event went deeper into hardware spec than any E3 press conference.
Yeah.
No. Did you watch the 2005 PlayStation press conference?
But that's when the PS3 was announced also.
Yeah, I'm saying that, like, I disagree that that's what the Sony event ended up being. I think there is more time devoted in that press conference to hardware specifications than there will be at, like, Microsoft's E3 press conference.
okay.
Obviously,
hold
they
on.
Announce a console.
Hold
E3
on, you're confusing me. Are you saying that the event that happened this week was more focused on that, or their E3 is more focused on that?
The event that happened this week with Sony was a lot more focused on hardware than Microsoft's announcement at possible announcement at E3 will be.
And they're not going to announce it at E3, first of all. They're going to get that out of the way in April.
Right, which is where they're going to talk about the hardware stuff. They're going to...
Right, we're in agreement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I was objecting to is you were saying that showing off the cool games running well is what the Sony event ended up being. And I think the Sony event was more punctuated by the hardware stuff than it was the games.
It was more conceptual, but the like actually talking about hardware was 20 minutes.
I guess. I think they were the most important 20 minutes, but, you know, to each his own.
I'm not arguing whether or not it was important. I'm just saying that them talking about hardware was 20 minutes of a close to 2.5 hour broadcast.
1.5 hours.
It was like 2 hours. It was at least 2 hours because we kept on saying, is this almost over yet?
Okay, fair enough. Kojima says that Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero is maybe too risky to release.
Whoa.
I really like this.
Shouldn't release it then.
He's targeting some taboo and mature themes.
Like rape.
He's worried it'll make it so controversial that even if it does release, maybe it won't sell.
Warmongering.
Look, guys, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying you're going to want to protect Sonny.
PMCs.
I'm sorry. That was really good. What Matthew just said. That was really clever.
Thank you.
Guys.
Although, now that I think about it.
He made a protecting Lara Croft rape joke, but he did it with Sonny. Okay.
That was the most amused I've ever seen Evan at anything Matthew has ever said.
No, I'm sorry. That was really good. It had a couple layers where you had to dig through it to figure out what the actual joke was.
It would have been better if you were actually playing as Sonny.
I think it works either way.
Eh, not really.
You laughed pretty hard at my the white man's burden.
Oh yeah. The white man's burden was good.
I have like 5 jokes that go down in history.
Clint Prentice, authority on jokes that don't work, Mr. Caveat.
I never said that it was the best joke.
It doesn't work.
It worked.
For the same kind of semantic reason that you're trying to leverage.
Okay, well, I'm no better than Matthew, so.
How's that feel? Sorry, Matthew.
That's okay.
It feels shitty, but whatever.
I don't feel shitty.
So
you're worse than me.
He's Thank basically you. Saying that his game might be too cool to sell well.
Well,
has Kojima been talking to Jonathan Blow too much?
Probably.
They hang out.
Says that it's always about killing aliens and zombies in games. He thinks that, you know, they haven't matured enough in the past 25 years. We still have a long way to go. And that he's approaching the project as a creator and prioritizing creativity over sales.
That sounds good to me.
Sure.
If he's legit about it.
Basically, this all just means that you're going to play as Raiden and Ground Zeroes.
No, there are going to be 2 games. One where you play as Raiden, the other one where you play as Snake.
Ground Zeroes, white version, and Ground Zeroes, black version.
Yep.
But they're not, like, distinguished. So when you buy a copy, you just get 1 of 2 discs. And you have to, it's a random thing.
And then you put it in your console, and there's a filament on the disc that, when heated, smells like blood.
It's basically like the Clue endings, but in a video game.
A lot of things are like the Clue endings in the video game. You know, the Clue movie is like the best like game adaptation ever.
That's true.
Evan's not as big of a fan.
I'm not saying that there's a lot of.
Here's what I'm saying.
That's more of a testament to the poor quality of game adaptation.
Clue, that might be true.
No, Clue's a good movie.
Clue is not a good movie.
Clue's a good movie.
Yeah, but as far as just adapting like the structure of the game to a movie format, I think it's
Clue has good people in it.
Clue is a fun movie.
It was obviously made with good intentions.
Yeah, Ryan's right. It's a lot of fun.
It is about as slight and unremarkable as movies get.
Your face is about as slight as unremarkable as faces get. So
that's a really good one, Clint. That was a really good insult. You should be proud of yourself.
I am. I'm quite proud. Also, fuck you. So
I wouldn't even feel proud of that joke, Clint.
There we go. I'm not.
Oh. Me. I'm whatever. I am out of news, which means we could talk about the PS4, or we've already sort of talked about the PS4.
No, we really haven't.
You know, I'm wondering, like, in a couple more generations, are, like, console releases going to become, like, the iPhone? You know, we're like, okay.
No.
The iPhone
5.
I don't think we're going to have a couple more generations. I think we're going to hit a point where we don't, like, there might be, like, two generations after this.
I doubt that.
There's always going to be precedent for newer, better technology, but yeah, I think we're. Even if I think.
Don't you think?
No.
It'll hit a point where it's just like you're upgrading the things inside the console, somewhat like a PC at a point.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's what consoles have been about this entire time. Anyway,
just like the iPhone 4 to iPhone 4S.
You're thinking of like whenever you say it's that they'll be like the iPhone. That's like saying that a console's going to come out every year. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying it's going to come out every year. I'm saying like every – I mean I'm just saying that as the technology becomes more, you know, it plateaus. I'm
saying there will be diminishing returns as technology moves
forward. I think that was very evident during the press conference. Like for example, the Killzone Shadowfall looked very good, but it's not like – it didn't blow my mind or anything.
Well,
I mean this is still early. We don't know what – other developers
reason it's
are working.
Blow your mind is because it's the same gameplay you've been seeing the past 8 years.
And the reason why they showed that is so that you can look at it and say, oh, hey, this is a thing that I know what it looks like on the PlayStation, and I now know how much better it looks on the PlayStation 4.
But at the
sure,
same
I'm
time,
just saying that it didn't have the same, like, oh, wow, that's far and away, like, nothing I've ever seen before. Like, I'm just saying that especially from a graphic perspective.
Well, that's just something that's going to happen. Yeah, you're totally right.
That's what I know. That's what I'm discussing here.
What I'm saying to you is that it's not going to be like the iPhone where there are incremental updates.
Every year. I never said that.
No. Where there are incremental updates, it's going to be whenever there is a jump where there are things like 8 gigabytes of RAM inside of a system instead of 512.
Megabytes.
That's possible.
Megabytes.
Yeah.
And so
512 gigabytes of RAM.
That will be the future.
Jesus Christ.
But you could run Crysis real good on that.
Like you could even see it in David Cage's whole timeline thing of like here's Omicron. Here's Indigo Prophecy, here's Heavy Rain, here's Kara, here's Beyond.
Right, it gets to that point, but what I'm going to get to my point.
There's no argument we're having here.
No. I'm just telling you.
Get to your point faster so we don't.
I'm trying, but everyone keeps saying, like, bringing up things whenever I'm bringing it back around. Okay?
Okay, bring it back around.
It's not going to be incremental updates because those incremental updates aren't going to happen. So what's going to end up happening is we're going to get these long gaps like we have with this generation to the generation that's coming this year. Like, it's going to be these longer and longer gaps. And we're going to have 10 years, then a new console.
Yeah, it's possible.
No, it's definitely
what's going to happen. The Wii U is going to get released in, like, 5 years.
The Wii U is already out.
I meant... the Wii U successor.
No. I think they've committed to this generation as the Wii U.
They couldn't possibly do that.
I don't think they're going to try to cut another generation in half with a home console system.
I'm not the kind of person who throws around a historic company getting out of the console business lightly, but if they seriously think they can pull that again for the next 8 years, they should be getting out of the console business.
But I don't think that in 4 years they should be announcing a new home console to compete with this generation coming out this year.
Well, it's their own fault for making the Wii U as it is.
I mean, I think they should...
Yeah.
I think they should announce a new console as soon as possible.
Yeah,
like, not from a business perspective, just from a game-playing perspective. Like, they do not... I saw what the PS4 has inside it, and I saw what the games look like, and I've played a Wii U. And right. It's not...
No, and I understand that. I think Nintendo watched what the PS4 has inside it and went, oh, fuck.
and that's oblivious. It's just so... Man, Nintendo used to be really cool, and now I feel like they're living in some sort of bubble of not understanding.
Yeah.
Anything.
No, and that's
don't worry, Evan, take on Nintendo magic.
No, and that bubble of understanding I think is also going to prevent them from releasing a half-generation console again.
Yeah. Well, I figured it would have prevented them from releasing a half-generation console a second time.
Yeah, but
here we are.
The Wii U.
God, I mean, I know they have their huge Scrooge McDuck money vault that we always talk about.
$14 billion.
But there's a point where that does run out, and I don't think they can risk that on another console that wouldn't sell, because there are people in Nintendo smart enough to tap other people on the shoulder and say, hey, look, these people going into the next generation already know if they want to get the next box or PS4.
Well, to be fair, though, if they were to release it like in, you know, 5 years when that generation's already been underway for a while, and they spec their next console like a fair, like not like a decent amount higher, like if technology is starting to plateau and we're getting like diminishing returns, they could, you know, they could pull it off.
That's exactly what they tried to do with the Wii U.
If they just,
yeah, they did it too early with the Wii U.
If they released the Wii U in like 2010,
then it would have been fine.
It would have been fine. Like, if they could.
Yeah.
Because at this point, they're on this weird schedule. If they could just churn out a console that's slightly better than all of the other consoles midway through this crazy long cycle, then they could probably get on the right track. But yeah. If 7 years from now the Wii U 2 comes out and it's a little more powerful than the PS4, then PS5 comes out and it's like 512 gigabytes of RAM.
That'd be great.
Like, I hate saying this, I could foresee them becoming a game developer.
I don't mind that at all.
That's at the end of this console generation, and a lot of people have said this, and I am starting to believe this is true, one of these major three players is going to have to pull out as a console manufacturer.
Yeah, you're saying like after Wii U, PS4, and next box.
Yeah.
There's going to be
the next generation after this one, there are going to be two major consoles coming
Nintendo
out.
Or a new
player.
Right.
Yeah. No, the way that the industry is going, it's not going to be able to even support three players.
Yeah, it's
just that.
Hey,
man, remember when there were no players back in 1985 and a little game called Super Mario Brothers came out?
There was a player.
So
it was called Atari.
We need a new Super Mario Brothers
2.
Wii U.
To
Luigi
Mansion,
new Luigi Brothers U Deluxe Edition.
Also, I don't want to be like doom and gloom over here, but I'm a little worried about AAA game development over the next couple of years.
Would agree.
We've talked about that plenty.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I don't even want to know how much Killzone Shadowfall costed to make, because holy shit,
that's yeah,
yeah.
And it's going to be really depressing when they announce the prices of the next Xbox and PS4.
But hey, how about we get on a good track here? And I will say that I think the PS4 press conference was quite well done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They struck a really good balance of let's talk about this tech and then let's show some of it.
I think a lot of the things we have casually been making fun of, I think, work pretty well. Yeah. I think having Jonathan Blow up there was a good get for them.
Right, because of how much, like, he has spoken against, you know, like, signing up for Microsoft again, and how much he's talked bad about, like, AAA gaming. Like, to get him to be at a press conference and say buzzwords like launch window, like that,
while shitting on AAA gaming.
While shitting on AAA gaming, I mean
that is a
call out to all developers of all shapes and sizes, saying, "Hey, we will work with you."
I do still like how he said this game, talking about The Witness, is 25 hours long, but we are not going to have you be doing the same thing over and over again. And the only thing they showed in that trailer was walking to different puzzles
according to Patrick Klepek and Ryan Davis. They were talking about it during their live stream of the live stream. Yeah, mm-hmm. Meta. They were talking about it, and Vinny had brought up, it just looks like they're going up to the same places and doing the same things. And Patrick said that, no, that's not what it is at all. That's only, like, one part of the puzzle.
I mean, it's like, it is hard to have a trailer for, especially not to throw out Jonathan Blow's buzzwords, but given that it's a game he claims takes place more in your head than on the screen.
And is 25 hours.
25 hours long.
But it's compact.
It's sort of akin. Yeah, you know what? Cool. I think his desire to make a compact open world is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because open worlds have just largely gotten bigger and more boring.
Yeah, when The Witcher 3 was announced and they were like, it's bigger than Skyrim. It's like, it doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't. And
Skyrim is too big.
And I'll tell you right now, there are some real big areas in The Witcher 2. There's just kind of nothing there, but like trees and stuff. And you
right,
like,
but that's so many open world games, right? Like fucking Assassin's Creed 3.
Right.
No, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Open worlds need to shrink down. The screenshots they've shown of The Witcher 3 are just vast open worlds with nothing in them.
And, like, it is admirable that they are trying to make a game that is the length of an open world game that is smaller, but everything is important in it. Like, I think that's a cool concept.
Yeah.
But also, what I was going to say is that cutting together a trailer for a puzzle game like that can be difficult if you're trying to convince them. It's akin to saying, like, well, I saw this Portal trailer and all I did was shoot portals. Like, the line thing, I would assume, is mainly just one layer of interacting with the different types of puzzles.
Yeah, that's what they were saying on the stream.
Yeah.
That's what
Lot of The Witness is just sort of unknown.
Yeah, but cool. It looks fucking stellar.
Yeah. And I mean, Jonathan Blow has made one really excellent game.
Yes,
so I'll trust
only him. Made one game, so.
Yeah.
No, and just to your point of even, like, it was a big get for them to get Jonathan Blow.
Right.
Just them ending out the show with Bungie coming out on the stage was huge for Sony.
Sure.
Just from a business standpoint, because Bungie, for the past decade, has just been a powerhouse Microsoft developer.
I mean, it's not terribly exciting for us, because, you know, whatever, Destiny, but...
No, but for the Xbox fans watching that stream, to see Bungie come out and say, hey, we're going to have exclusive content for Sony...
Sure. Yeah, and that's a big deal.
And for the fact that right now Destiny has right next to it on the PS4 and there's no next Xbox name on there, that's a thing. That's a bit for them.
Right.
But they
I
also
think giving
had...
also I should say I think giving the hardware stuff to Mark Cerny was a good idea too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was intense.
He's intense, but he's also a pretty fascinating guy to listen to.
Yeah, his eyes.
There's something about the cadence of his voice that I find very interesting.
There's something about his eyes that I just find really unnerving.
And he also made Marble Madness, so, I mean, what more do you want? Marble Madness has, like, 4 levels.
But they had some other really intense dudes there. Like, the guy who loved cars just a little too much.
Drive
he was just so excited. He was so excited
that
he buckle yourself in.
Trademark that name.
9 years ago. No,
you should look that up.
You should look it up.
Just okay. Oh, this wonderful moment.
And no, but I will
open up the driver's seat.
You're gonna strap yourself in.
Strap yourself in.
No, but one thing. Even though we are mocking that guy, and we can say like jokingly that a lot of people are intense, it was really nice to see, like, all these developers talking about a new generation and being really excited for the games that they were developing for that generation.
Right. I mean, that's totally the guy you want making Drive Club.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
But then, Media Molecule is always really cool to watch because they're so, like, even if their stuff they're doing is, like, weird to us, they're so into it that it just kind of makes you into it.
Yeah. Sure. And then they pull out that guy who was super sad talking about Infamous.
The lighting change.
Yes.
I think the lighting change was what got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like bars over his face.
I really liked Game Informer's Matt Helgeson's tweet where he was like, man, this guy's talking about how like bad all this like monitoring and social media and stuff is. Meanwhile, the rest of the conference is just all about how social media and you stream
that and Watch Dogs.
I'm gonna steal another thing from Vinny Caravella. He said, "What if that's the new All Story? It's the security is overwhelming us. It's the new All Story like, for this generation.
Too tapped in.
Yeah,
that sounds like a better All Story.
Yeah,
but I'll ask that question again in 5 years.
Seriously, in 5 to 8 years, are we still gonna think that?
That's a better All Story. God."
Do
you think the current All-Story is still going to be around in 8 years?
No.
What's the current All-Story?
All-Story is just the
Chosen One.
The Chosen One, and there's cycles and ancestors.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm bored of that.
You have to break the cycle. And
yeah.
Because you are the Chosen One.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so sick of Chosen One games.
Hey, Zelda.
Yeah, I'm really tired of killing a bunch of dudes with guns and
then stop playing video games.
Like, yeah. I know.
No, the last game I was expecting to have an All-Story was Dead Space 3.
Yeah, that's for fucking sure.
Game has pretty deep All-Story.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just the Chosen One thing is so. I like coincidence. I like.
When you literally say that your character is going to become Jesus.
Yeah.
Line.
Like. Yeah. I am more down with Max Payne than I am down with Commander Shepard.
Yeah.
Like, because Max Payne just sort of gets in shitty situations. Commander Shepard is destined to be in shitty situations.
Like, yeah.
Which one is more interesting?
Well, I mean, since he is his own antagonist, Max Payne kind of destinates himself.
Oh, God.
Shitty situations.
But, yeah. That's...
He decimates himself. What?
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I know, I said it to annoy you.
But the games they showed all looked sort of interesting. New Infamous, Killzone,
Clank.
Except for that.
Knack.
I said Clank.
Said Clank. I don't know why you'd say that.
It's just a funny little robot.
It is a funny little robot who becomes a giant particle robot to show off the particles.
Yep.
Ratchet and Clank size
it
matters.
Also comes with the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a shitty frame rate.
Was a really big afterthought in that entire conference.
Yeah, there was the part whenever he was like, it'll play on your mobile phone, your tablet, web browsers, and the Vita.
Yeah, he sort of said it under his breath like he was about to forget it.
Yeah.
It was like
somebody had to scratch it in by the teleprompter late.
Yeah,
the weird thing about that is it's like cross-buy. What's up with that?
Well, I mean,
I guess some downloadable games, perhaps.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to try to push this thing as the best accessory for the PS4, and then every game is just going to be shitty on the Vita.
Yep.
Because the Vita cannot deal with the PS4. It can really deal with the PS3.
And also, there's no L2 and R2 button.
Yeah, there's also that part.
Yep.
They are stealing from the Wii U, though, by saying, like,
sure.
Hey, we totally have this function, too.
It's well, a good
It's a
point.
Cool function.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good bullet point in a press conference focused on other things, because it's sort of very snarkily saying, like, oh, yeah, your console thing, it's just like a footnote here.
Yeah. It's like if you happen to have like both of our things, you can maybe do it if you want. You don't like.
But who would? Who would? You just want your RAM. That's all you people want.
Hey, 8 gigabytes, man.
That's a lot of RAM. the thing I still am most interested in hearing more about, because it sounds so insane and I don't think it could work, is the whole... First of all, there's, like, the streaming to your friends, which is pretty cool.
Guy shit, yeah.
But the fact, like... And they just, like, kind of talked about it a little bit, but if you're, like, stuck on a part in your game and a friend is watching your stream, can just, like... You can throw control to him.
I don't get how...
That sounds cool, though. That sounds,
sure.
That sounds real really cool.
I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem very pie in the sky.
The Gaikai stuff left me pretty cold, because it was largely like, listen, guys, sometime in the future, we will definitely have all this shit. And it was more talking about, like, man, the PS4's architecture has some cool potential.
I don't know, of the stuff that they were talking about, like the Ustream stuff, and they had that up, the share function and all that, like, they were using that.
Sure, but a large portion of it was also, like, your friend can, you know, shit like, your friend can play the game for you, and we're going to have a backwards compatibility library for all of the PlayStation games that will play on all of our devices.
I'd argue the bigger focus was on, hey, Ustream and sharing function rather than that stuff. Like, that stuff was called out, but I think that you think that we're remembering it as being bigger than it is because it's so weird.
Right. I'm not claiming that it's bigger than it is. I'm just saying that having that level of doubt in those other things does not inspire me with as much confidence as it...
Right. They did specifically say, like, even when they were talking about that backwards compatible library, they were like, sometime after release, just, we'll eventually
that's
hearing that a lot of the stuff they are trying to do is still ambitious beyond their current means. I'm not saying that stuff won't be there. I'm saying that I'm worried about its level of functionality.
Well, if you recall...
Back
when the PlayStation 3 was announced, they said that the PlayStation 3 would siphon off energy from your washer and dryer to make it like two PS3s in one. So,
and your point?
I'm just saying that some things just don't happen.
Exactly.
And
see now, Clint, if you buy that second graphics card, you're not going to have to siphon off power from your washer and dryer.
Exactly. I'm going to get the freshest clothes.
Like, if it, like, and of all the stuff in that conference, like, the best parallel I can think of to the washer and dryer is Gaikai.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that second half of Gaikai, but, like, the streaming and sharing stuff, like, that is totally cool and totally realized right then and there. Yeah, the backwards compatibility and the taking control and...
I'm just worried it won't work very well.
Sure. No, I just can't
all those
wait.
People complaining about, like, the focus on social stuff and, like, hey, there's a share button. You don't have to press the share button.
Yeah, you don't. No.
You can play games by yourself still.
Yep. Totally
it's
optional.
It's just new functions to bring it to the table because we are hitting a point where technology is leveling out on the leaps and bounds we can make.
I'm just sad because there's no select button anymore.
Exactly. What are we going to do? Well, that'll be on the touchpad.
No, it's the options button. It's share options and then the PlayStation button.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
There's no select.
They better
there's no
they
start.
Call it select.
There's no start. That's the.
Yep.
That's the whole. It's crazy. That controller's cool. The analog sticks are weird, but.
I like them.
Extra rumble features. So says Mark
Less
Cerny.
Controller latency.
For you ladies.
Know, weird thing about Metal Gear Solid 4.
Excellent
rumble. Just excellent. They had like rumble coordinators on like the credits list. Like two guys just working on the rumble.
Yeah.
It shows.
Wow.
No, yeah, because like when Snake like likes a cigarette, like it totally rumbles like kind of how you'd think a cigarette would rumble when you're laying
I can't wait.
I've held a lit cigarette before. They don't really rumble.
They make a noise.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to get this in there. I hope that you have to hold down the share button for a couple seconds before it does its shit.
Yeah. You're in a really intense game of like...
Because I do not want to become an Xbox guide button situation where suddenly I'm fucking streaming.
No, I can't. See
share
that.
Share opens up a menu where you have like options. How do you want to?
Oh, okay.
It basically pauses.
Do you guys
the game.
Hit the Xbox guide button by accident?
I don't.
Sometimes, I'm doing a quick time event occasionally.
Oh, okay. I can't wait for the future in which we're all in a drive club, team drive club. That's
team
still
based
a team
racing,
right? And we're all in this race together, but you guys are just watching me and I'm driving. And then Ryan is the backseat driver and he says, no, you got to take a left instead of a right. And I'm like, okay, fine. You drive. And then we do this like Chinese fire drill. Just everyone gets out of the car. And we all flip our seats and it's the future.
And with the new 3D camera they're putting out, we actually have to act like we're getting out of a car.
That's true.
And run around it and then get in the other positions.
Yep, because it shows depth.
Yeah.
In like a movie, it like cuts to the camera and just looks like how.
Sure, with the power of the PlayStation 4, you are the car.
No, you are the car. Get up.
John?
It's true first-person racing.
If we're closing out, what price do you guys think it's going to release at?
I'm going to stick with $499.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you could have 8 gigabytes of that type of RAM and all the shit that's in that PS4.
That's real expensive. Right.
Unless Sony wants to sell it at a loss in hopes of an install base boost, which they might do.
They did it with the PS3.
I was reading something earlier in Clinton.
Did they really?
Verify this for me, but I read something that was saying like you can't get like RAM that size in a stick, like one stick or anything.
No, the RAM that they're putting in there, like that's not RAM how you think of RAM. That's video card RAM, like GDDR5. That's for like what goes into a graphics card.
Okay.
So that's like 8 gigabytes of onboard RAM memory it's also just super duper expensive. Just think of it as like super duper
RAM sticks, like
it's not like you'd be able to go in and swap it. It's going to be difficult to explain.
Okay,
but
that's fine. That answers my question because I read somewhere that was like the only size that those sticks would come in is like 500, so there's going to be like 16 sticks of RAM in there, and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, well, how they're going to actually like build that architecture in there, like that, the way that you think of it inside of a PC doesn't make sense for how they're going to build it around a box. Okay. But that's going to be expensive.
Yeah,
like 8 gigabytes of, oh my god, that. My graphics card was like $250, and it only has 2 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory.
Yeah, it's...
Is kind of...
Start saving up.
Yep. So, put it in that perspective for you. But I'd say $450.
I think it's going to be like a $425 and $450, two different...
425 and 450.
Yeah, that's real weird.
I'm sorry. Really, I meant 425 and 500 or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, somewhere between 400 and 500.
But two SKUs, you think?
I think it's going to release with two different size hard drives.
One with the depth camera and one without.
Maybe.
Nah, they should just bundle all that together so that everyone uses it.
I think if they're going to like push that kind of stuff, we'll see more come like E3 too.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll probably know come E3. But they didn't focus near enough on that depth camera to let us see how many games are going to be using that.
Yeah, E3, we're maybe going to get a more firm date.
We're going to see it at E3.
Well, yeah, but what is seeing... the PlayStation 4, like, this is from Twitter, but hey guys, I know what the PlayStation 4 is going to look like, a black rectangle of some
sort. Yeah, that's the thing, like, for some reason people are really up in arms about, like,
I didn't see the box. Like, No, it's a black fucking rectangle.
It's gonna be a MacBook Air. Just how'd they get all that RAM in there? No moving parts.
No disk drive.
No disk drive. That's the worst. I didn't know that until a little while ago, that the newest MacBooks don't have a disk drive.
Well, only the Airs. The MacBooks still have them.
I thought the new MacBooks don't have any moving parts.
The MacBook Airs...
are the ones without the moving parts?
Right. The MacBooks, like the MacBook Pro line, that still has a disk drive in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been like that for a couple of years. The Airs haven't had disk
Well, the drive. Airs never had.
Yeah.
That's fine. I was under the assumption that just
the Retina one might not have a disk drive in it.
When I was in high school, senior year, like the big thing that everybody was getting for graduation was their parents were getting a Max, and everybody was like, "Oh, I'm getting the Air," and I'm like, "Why are you doing that?"
Well, you could just get
There's
a USB
no fucking disk drive.
You could just get a USB disk drive. Okay, the MacBook Retina MacBook does not have a disk drive in it.
No.
No.
Not a fan.
Why?
Because it's got two Thunderbolt ports.
No, I mean, why would they phase that out?
Oh. Because it's the future.
Oh.
And also, there are Thunderbolt ports on there, so you can stick a,
Then that's just a thing I have to have sticking off of my laptop.
You unplug it when you don't need it.
Right.
Which is going to be
just more work.
Which
more
is just
going to
be
work.
All the time. Like you're almost never going. The way that they have the OS structured, anything and everything you need comes from the App Store, iTunes, like all that stuff.
They don't have every CD that ever came out on iTunes.
Well, then you just plug in the disk drive and then you. Upload that disk.
I still want multiple disk drives.
And you throw that away.
Or disk changer in the new systems.
Any
design decision whose justification is you can just buy an add-on to bring it back is not a good design decision.
The thing, well, it's just, like, I have a disk drive on my MacBook. When was the last, I don't even know when the last time I used it is.
Okay, but the option to use it is... pretty viable and important, especially for iTunes infrastructure.
But it's not important. I don't need that anymore. If I ever change MacBooks, which I hope to soon, I just take all the files and then put them on. Like, I never buy CDs anymore. If I find a CD...
But some people do.
Well, then they don't need a fucking MacBook Retina or a MacBook Air. Then, or if they really want their CDs, just get a disk drive, which only costs like $10.
I'm just saying it's very narrow-minded to claim that's not important because you personally are not affected by it.
And I'm just saying that there is an option available. No matter how shitty it is, it's still available for you.
Right. But what's the benefit of not having a disk drive?
Thinner, lighter, and more efficient.
Okay, why do I need my computer to be thinner and lighter?
So that it's easier to take around.
Okay.
This thing's 7 pounds.
You know what is harder to take around? A disk drive attachment.
No, it's really not.
Right, and it's really not hard to carry a normal MacBook with a disk drive in it.
Yeah, that whole extra centimeter really, just, you know, can't handle it.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you guys are complaining. You're never going to get MacBooks, so
That's not true. Maybe I want a MacBook.
You don't
They're
want
the best laptops around.
Are they, though?
Are they?
Yes.
The one thing... Well, then just get a MacBook Pro. Don't get a Retina.
Right, but it's, obviously what they're building up to is just not selling MacBooks with disk drives.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Right, and I'm saying I don't think that's...
Then just get an add-on. I don't see why just getting an add-on...
Right, but that's a stupid thing.
Because getting an add-on doesn't excuse the design decision of being... But once again, if it is a thing that I think I need to replace, that I have to pay more money to get a thing back that they removed, that's not a good decision they made then, in my eyes at least.
Then you don't want that product.
Right. But the idea here is they're selling a product I otherwise like, and I'd like them to make more decisions that I am in favor of, like any product.
Then just get the other MacBook.
Sooner or later, there won't be other MacBooks. Sooner or later, there's just going to be the ones without the disk drives.
Yeah, that's right.
As you said.
Yep.
And this isn't a good business practice.
It is furthering the thing about Apple that I am not a big fan of, which is their constant consolidation and locking of their devices.
Well, that's the future. That's Watch Dogs.
Yeah, Watch Dogs doesn't look appealing. I don't want to be driving down the street and suddenly the fucking light changes and I get hit.
I think the more egregious thing is the lack of a audio in on the Retina MacBook.
Yeah, that's also bad. Both of those things should be fixed.
What, so there's no, like, headphone jack?
No, there's a headphone jack. There's no microphone port.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah. It's because all Apple headphones now come with built-in microphones.
No,
so you better buy one of those.
No, it's because there's a microphone embedded in the MacBook. There's also a microphone embedded in my MacBook, but it doesn't work anymore.
Surely you see what I'm getting at, though. The proof here.
No, because I can just get a thing. I can just get a thing that, like, a little USB dongle, and I'm good.
But oh god.
All I'm saying is that if I want the next fastest, best MacBook and, like, Retina and everything, then I'm at the point where, hey, yeah, I'm willing to make that conceit, and then I'll just dig out the disk drive that's in my closet and just use
it. Okay,
that.
You may be willing to make that conceit. That does not mean that people who have a problem with it are invalidated.
Well, then they're either not doing their research or then they don't – that's not the product they're looking for. And if that's – if that is the thing that is, I don't, there is an option.
Yeah,
it's a shitty option, but it's still there. You still have access. You still have access, though.
Some things and downgraded something else, and I'm complaining about the downgrade. That's it. I mean, just as if they released a new Xbox with some thing taken out of it that I didn't agree with, I'd be like, well, obviously I'm going to get the next Xbox because at a certain point my existing Xbox will
become... It would be like if the next Xbox was like, okay, here's like a better Xbox. Oh, but we decided to take off one of the analog sticks on the controller. But you can buy an add-on that puts the analog stick back on and you can take it off whenever you want.
No, because... No. You don't use that. You don't use that DVD drive as much as you use that analog stick.
Fine, it takes the start button off, and you can get an add-on to put the start button back on.
I don't need the start button. I just hit the guide button.
It takes out Rumble because it's more
efficient. Yes, there we go.
You can buy a Rumble pack. This is basically a Rumble pack scenario.
I'm good with that. Yeah. The Rumble pack is a great thing.
So what?
So I'm glad we've reached an agreement. We're all pro Rumble Pack.
Yep.
Are you saying that we should be forced to buy Rumble Pack accessories?
No, because you're not forced.
Oh my god.
You can play your games without Rumble.
Oh my god. Yep, I can play my games on SDTVs.
Can't put my CDs on iTunes without
Don't hits. Knock SDTVs.
I think we can all knock SDTVs.
STDVs are
really Ryan, good. Living in 2005.
Hey, Ryan.
Just gonna listen to some Maroon 5.
Just take that SDTV and put it in an arcade cabinet. And
actually, could you just send that to me?
The SDTV?
I'm kind of looking at Famicom play.
Can you give Evan your STDs?
Oh, please don't do that.
No, I won't.
Luckily, you're at the other end of the country.
If you really want me to send you my SDTV, I could probably arrange some way to do that.
That sounds like a nightmare, so please don't.
Yeah, that would be...
When my SDTV got taken out, like, the bottom fell out because we hadn't moved in so long. Yeah.
So that's a weird
Yeah, I know. We'd had it for like 10 years. So.
Did you buy a replacement bottom for it?
No, yes. That's all we did.
Okay.
No, we got a good, like, 48 inch.
Any other PS4 jargon to talk about? PS4 definitely has a disc drive.
Holiday 2013.
Holiday 2013. I say we just wrap the podcast.
Okay.
What do you say?
Forgo questions this week?
We can pull from those questions next week.
Okay.
Because I might not have the best sense of time, but I think we're running pretty long.
We did that one.
While you're looking for questions, I should remind everybody that you can follow me on Twitter at not_found_blog. You can follow Clint at originalClint. In case you want to hear about disk drives and The Witcher, you should follow both of them.
And office chairs.
Does anyone have a good office chair? Like, suggestion?
I can send you my SDTV and you can sit on that.
Get the spinny one.
No.
The spinny SDTV?
Suggest a good office chair.
I promise, no matter how bad your office chair is, my office chair is worse.
Nope, mine's worse.
It's literally a white chair with, like a woven, like, bottom.
That sounds
bottom.
That sounds a lot more comfortable than what I'm sitting on.
It's like that stuff that like they're brown pots and they're brown and they're woven.
I'm actually sitting on one of those T-ball stands.
They
put the ball on.
So we didn't talk about that Blizzard announcement at the PlayStation.
There's nothing to talk about.
Well, there's this question right here. Will we get Diablo 3 on Xbox consoles, or is the PlayStation Blizzard partnership an exclusive deal?
Probably an exclusive deal.
Yeah, probably an exclusive deal.
The way they worded it, it sounded like it was, but at the same time,
yeah,
it could just be...
It's weird that they're bringing it to the PS3 this late.
Eh. Four.
No,
I mean,
three.
It's weird.
That no, it's three and four.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It'll be playable at PAX East.
I don't know. Diablo 3 is not a taxing game unless you want it to be, technically. So if you want to play it, I feel like PC is probably still the best option. But, you know.
Then I only have one other question to ask if you want to.
Okay.
How do you guys create your Call of Cthulhu sessions, and how much thought did you put into them?
Good question. My first one, I put a fair bit of thought into the type of game, the themes I wanted to hit. Like any good story pitch, I was like, okay, I want to end with the whole thing being both of these groups are kind of fucked and crazy and the end of the world comes, but it's what neither of them predicted. And then I just sort of like improvised. A lot of it is improvisation because you don't know what the players are going to do.
No.
So it's just like, okay, well, I have certain beats I want to hit that are either explicit or, like, just thematic, and then you have to sort of let them do whatever they want. Case in point, when Clint does something in the Call of Cthulhu podcast we have not put out yet.
Yeah.
That sort of...
Oh, yeah, Clint's an asshole.
Sort of mucked up a lot.
No, I didn't muck up anything. Everything got fixed at the end, so...
The fact that...
True.
That entire podcast was restricted on time because of you, and you went out of your way to make that as excruciatingly long as possible.
I wanted to have fun with it, and we had fun.
We did have fun.
I think that's the whole point of Call of Cthulhu. It's not just going through the story. It's, you know, taking some detours along the way.
Right. And obviously, with my new one, I'm sort of experimenting with puzzles and what puzzles will play.
And also, you guys are calling me an asshole. Look at that asshole right there through my entire Call of Cthulhu session.
Hey, look, I didn't, just to be clear, rarely did I stall things. I merely tried to point out the limits of your bullshit. I merely tried to push things to a certain breaking point wherein you had to say about the equivalent of a wizard did it. And that was pretty fun, but, you know. The only thing
and that's
I
being a fucking asshole.
Clint, no, I don't have a problem with you trying to mess with Evan's game. I have a problem with you doing that to such an extent while you are the one who needs to leave at a certain time.
I left at the exact time I needed to go.
Right. The idea is I had more of the episode planned.
No, yeah, you said whether or not whatever happened, it was going to end with us solving the first puzzle.
I did not say
yes,
that.
Yes, you definitely did say that. I remember you explicitly saying that.
Once you gave us... If I did say that, I was lying, because that's not true.
Once you gave us some time constraints, you said that.
Yeah. Because I said, hey, this is going to...
I said there would be an episode, and either way we would get to the puzzle, and then I believe I said that if you didn't solve the puzzle, we'd just pick it up next.
All I did with my session was think...
That's what you said.
...of a cool...
You can follow Ryan at Ryan
That's
underscore...
That's fine, whatever.
Don't do that.
MCGIN. You can follow Matthew at Terrorvirus, TARREL virus. You can join our Facebook group, which is Aeronaut Found Civilized Discourse Corner. You can go to aeronautfound.org, where we have a Metal Gear Rising review and a Metal Gear Rising crash test. And we're going to have an Amnesia video, and we have more Cart Life up. Cart Life wherein the baton is passed from Clint to Ryan.
No, it's not passed.
Not in earnest, obviously. I was just making a reference to the end of the video.
Yeah.
And then we also might have a Crisis 3 review?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it up.
Okay.
This time.
Yeah.
This time? For
this
sure?
Time, for sure.
Okay. Because I was very disappointed last time.
Were you?
We have that Witch's House video.
We have that Witch's House video.
Yeah.
Which is me and Ryan watching Clint get freaked out by teddy bears.
Ryan got freaked out sometimes, too.
Not really. I was just laughing a lot more than...
Fair enough.
He kind of tries to keep dragging me down with him when he gets scared by things. Yep. Like in Dead Space 3, he was like, remember that really scary part where you got scared too? And I was like, I wasn't really scared.
Yeah, you were. You freaked out.
No, that pinball thing, it was cool. It was like a nice little jump scare.
No, that wasn't the part really that I was talking about.
No, but it didn't really scare me. You were having problems with that pinball machine.
No, you're elaborating on something that I went, at.
No, it was a little bit more.
No, that
it was like, oh,
that's how he screams. Actually,
that's
we
not,
have audio proof of it.
That's not what happened because I knew the pinball was coming. I guarantee you, I didn't freak out at the pinball.
Okay. How many more arguments can we get into this episode?
The Witcher is a dumb name.
Yeah, it's all right.
Can we fit any more in? Any new ones? Anybody have a problem?
No, I just hate you guys now. Like, I really hate you guys.
Oh, yeah. Clint, we all love you. It's fine.
And I like video games, and apparently none of you do anymore. And
Persona 3 is better than Persona 4.
Now, I just know you.
Now I'm just making up shit.
It's,
yeah,
I almost started playing Persona 3 again today. But I had to stop myself from going down that road.
Hey, I like video games, Clint. I just don't like the video games I don't like.
Well, it's a lot of them.
Evan, are we going to watch the Oscars?
That's sort of up in the air right now.
It's up in the air still? All right.
Yes.
That was a couple years ago.
I will let you know.
Ayo.
Hey.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good movie.
Ayo. Yeah, maybe I'll watch the Oscars with it. I'm not sure.
All right. That's fine.
Either way, Oscars are on tomorrow.
Be sure to watch the Master lose.
Extensive coverage of the Oscars on Aeronaut Found.
Not at all.
Just so much. Just we'll have a live podcast to go along with it.
None of that stuff's going to happen.
Just, you know, our ballots will be posted. Mm. We have a contest where whoever wins gets $50,000.
Yep.
Whoa,
that
what?
Part's, that
I just,
part's
I just would really want to watch that with Evan just to listen to him quietly rage, because I know he's going to just do his dejected sigh when Joaquin Phoenix does not win Best Actor.
Well, I've already made peace with that. He's clearly not going to win Best Actor.
What if he wins? What if it comes out of nowhere and he wins Best Actor?
I'd be very pleased. He deserves it. And that's a podcast.
Yep. Thanks for listening, peoples.
I assure you, everybody listening, we all like video games.
No, I don't think they do, guys. I do, but I don't
except
think they
for
do.
Matthew. He doesn't like shooting games. People or
when I said that, that was sort of generalized.
Don't get me wrong. I don't like sort of tedious games or games that are lacking in imagination or good design or fun or, you know, visual, you know, flair.
So Dust.
All I'm saying is that functionally sound but creatively bankrupt shooter games are a dime a dozen these days.
Yeah. I'm on his side.
I'll jump on that side of the fence.
I think the games are fun.
Glint is just going to become our reviewer now, where every review is just going to be, this is pretty fun. Homefront, 4 out of 5, pretty fun.
I already see that review.
Let's end this thing.
Hey, Glint, what would you give Homefront?
2.
You'd give it a 2. I'd probably give it a 2.
I'd probably give it a 2.
I'd give it a 3.
Whoa, Ryan.
I've never played Homefront.
Well, that says all you need to know about our review process.
Games are fun, guys.
I agree.
Games are fun.
Yeah.
Plus, where did you get on this thing where we don't like games? We all like games.
I don't know.
I've liked every game I've recently reviewed.
I don't know.
Metal Gear Rising. Ni No Kuni.
We've never actually ended a podcast when we said we're going to end a podcast.
Wow.
It's just a thing that happens sometimes.
So let's end it now. Damn it, Clint.
See, Clint's in charge, and he's too upset with us to end.
Yeah, I know, and it's just the worst. And it's even worse because his Skype thing is General Teddy, and I can't be mad at General Teddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I can be mad at General Teddy.
Shut up, Naoto.
Hey, I can't be mad at Naoto more than General
Teddy. Shut up, white blank space.
General Teddy's kind of an asshole.
Shut up, white supremacist.
That's not what I said.
No, I'm talking to Evan.
It's possible that I've never updated my Skype picture from a white space.
You have to choose a Persona 4 character. Who do you choose? That'll be who his favorite character is.
I don't have a favorite character. We've been over this, man.
Yeah, but what if you had to put a Skype picture?
I will get a picture of all of the characters.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yes, I can.
It has to be one.
There can only be one.
Yeah, like Highlander.
Fine, Chie.
I knew it.
Naoto, too, though. Naoto's really cool.
Yeah. Yes!
Everybody's cool.
Damn it.
Kanji, Chie, and Naoto are sort of the three, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with that.
Although Rise is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yosuke's sort
everybody
of the best,
kind
maybe.
Of accept
see,
Teddy
I
and
see
Yosuke.
What they're doing. I see what they're doing. And
honestly, just, Teddy's my
you know, it's old. Teddy needs this isn't me trying to get under your skin. This is just my honest opinion.
Yeah, totally. Get it. Hey, you guys are just the worst people.
I think Teddy's brilliant.
You guys are the worst people I know.
I think all the characters have something going on.
That's it.
I just think that those three, Chie,
relationship
Kanji,
has reached its natural end. And
Clint, will you feel better if we go get you some Topsicles?
I think that we should all break up now. It's you.
Look, Clint, I don't know what you thought was. We're not in a relationship.
Clint, I can change.
It's just. I'm in
Ryan,
a different.
We're not in a relationship with Clint.
I'm in a different emotional state now, and just you aren't there with me.
Look,
I
Evan,
can beat
you're
there.
Not as cool as the characters in Persona 4.
I'm clearly not.
And I know that you think you can try and be there, but you don't know where there is.
I'll fully admit that I'm not as cool as the characters.
Really, I just wish my dialogue was written by Atlas.
I want to be there. I mean, if anything, it's just, you know, we were walking down this road together, and we came to a fork, and I went right, and you went left. And
I'd just like to point out that Matthew just referred to him talking as his dialogue.
I can turn around. I can come back and then go with you.
But it's too late. I mean,
it's not. I'm fast. I can run.
We've gone miles down this road, and okay, it's just it's...
Flint. Listen, I'll admit the reason that I feel like we should end this. It's really just the disk drive thing.
I'm at a point where, you know, whatever you say, it doesn't matter to me.
Right. Tell your story about breaking up with someone on Valentine's Day again.
And, you know,
Valentine's Day podcast.
Like, we can keep on, you know, deluding ourselves that this is something that it's not, and while that might be fun, it's not.
I'm saying that video games are over.
All we're doing is hurting ourselves. And
I'm out.
I don't want to do that.
I'm out.
Clint, I'll see you later. You can end this podcast, but I just can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been trying to say.
It's just hard to be in the same, you know, because I'm getting all these feelings.
And, you know, it's just...
And it's not healthy for either of us.
Clint's just going to send this bit of the podcast to some girlfriend he has. It's just going to be the way he breaks up with her.
And so, Lisa...
With comic relief.
And so, Lisa, what I'm trying to say is...
My name's not Lisa.
My name is Lisa.
Oh, wait, were you that girl in 8th grade who really liked Panic at the Disco?
Yes, we've already covered this.
Okay. No, her name was Natalie.
The name was Leone. Either way.
My middle name is Natalie Leone.
Yes, that's a real name, by the way.
In first grade, there was this girl named Chelsea who gave everyone Valentines, but I thought mine was special.
Apparently, there's a few people named Human in the United States.
What's in there?
And so I got in this fight with my best friend at the time. Like, no, she, like, my Valentine is the real Valentine. And he was like, no,
sounds
it's
like
mine.
A dumb fight.
And then, and then, like, in the middle of class when we weren't supposed to get up from our seat, both of us ran over there and, like, asked her, hey, which one's real?
Look, clearly my Valentine was the real Valentine. So that argument's stupid.
And it was my Valentine, so...
Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is that Chie made chocolate for me.
That's it. That's all I got. I mean, you know, it sucks, man. I know, but she liked me more than you, so...
Wait, who liked who? What?
In the first grade, Chelsea.
Oh.
Chelsea liked Clint more than Clint's friend.
Yeah.
You're talking to your friend now.
His name was Ethan.
Ethan.
Yeah. Suck it, Ethan.
Yeah, suck it.
Hawk?
Nope.
Didn't go to elementary school with Ethan Hawk?
Did not do that. As cool as that would have been.
What about Cohen?
Hmm?
Ethan Cohen?
Nope.
From the Cohen brothers?
Wasn't that guy. No. He's a little older than I am. Definitely. That was him.
It was Sacha Baron Cohen, and his name was Ethan.
Yeah, he went by a different name.
Oh, God, can we just end this podcast?
That guy is a pretty kooky character. At this point, I feel like the end of this podcast is an Andy Kaufman-esque exercise in anti-humor.
Nobody is listening to this anymore.
No, hey, Miles, someone's listening.
This drive argument.
Hold on. If you made it to here, shoot me a tweet.
Don't shoot Evan tweets. Don't do that. Just the tweet should be at all of us. Except for Evan. If it's at Evan, then we know that you didn't watch this.
My Twitter account.
If it's at Evan, we know that you didn't watch it, but how would you have thought to make a tweet if you didn't make it this far?
So my Twitter account is secretly the best, so you should just send it to me.
So if it's
the tweet say, Evan?
The tweet should say...
Panic at the Disco.
That The Witcher is a dumb name.
Nope. No, it shouldn't. It should say
Panic at the Disco. Well, people are just going to tweet you that anyway.
It should just
say, yeah, because they're all on my side.
It should just say Panic at the Disco. That's a great tweet. I look forward to two of those.
And with that, we will see you all next week.
Panic at the...
But only... We'll see you next week. Only,
is there any Panic at the Disco? Also, wait. Panic at the Disco, the I is an exclamation point, right?
Yes. So no. It's Panic at the Disco. Like, it's Panic with an exclamation point at the
Disco. Like, error not found.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the I was an exclamation
point. No. It's that's too dumb.
Are you saying it would have been Panic at the Disco?
No, but we want it. So it should be the I's the exclamation point.
No, we don't.
That's how we know they'll listen to this.
Then the I needs to also be exclamation point in the disco part as well.
Fine. Panic at the disco, all I's in that are exclamation points.
And then the exclamation point where panic is an upside down exclamation point.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's just too much. You could link to a Teddy GIF, though, if you want to, like, really get on our good side.
Nope, I'm over those.
Says the guy with General Teddy as his Skype picture.
No amount of Teddy GIFs will make me like Evan ever again.
Oh, come on.
That's a challenge.
Bring it on.
Bring what on? Bring it on. I'm not going to sit here sending you Teddy GIFs.
Well, then...
To cure us some...
They all just say, I'm very sorry.
I'll use bear as a pun if you want.
You can try.
About how very sorry I am.
You can try, but I don't think it'll work.
About how the way you played The Witcher is like barely playing a game.
The outro to this podcast is quickly becoming unbearable.
Quickly? Becoming? It's...
Man, things getting really grisly.
These are terrible.
What? Terror bear?
Don't you mean they're just terror bear?
It's hard to match the energy you're emitting right now, Clint.
That's because I think that we should break up.